It's time to start looking at building hot rods.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, July 21st, 2022. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination episode 1470.
This is No Agenda.
Placing our bets and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6. Good morning, everybody.
I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern California, we're worried sick. Biden has COVID. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Hold on a second. You said Northern California instead of your usual Northern Silicon Valley.
It's got to be a bigger area because so many people are concerned.
Oh, stop. Oh, my goodness, John. We have real news. We have real news. It just in.
And now back to real news.
You've just learned President Biden has been tested positive for COVID-19. Let's get straight to Jeremy Dimon at the White House. Jeremy, how is the president's health overall? Yeah. Obviously, he's fully
demented.
Vaccinated, boosted, but he did just come off this big overseas trip.
Yeah, I'll answer the question. Well, generally, the president has dementia. Now he's being taken off the field after announcing as cancer. He's got COVID. This may be it.
Yeah, listen, this is obviously very significant news, but also very different from when we had a president of the United States last test positive for COVID. That was when President Trump had it. That was before he had been vaccinated. In this case, President Biden is vaccinated and he is also double
still
boosted,
got it.
But he is experiencing, we're told, very mild symptoms, according to the White House, and he has begun taking a course of that antiviral Paxlovid treatment. Let me read you part of this statement from the White House that we have just gotten moments ago, saying that consistent with CDC guidelines, he will isolate at the White House and will continue to carry out all of his duties fully during that time. They say that he's been in contact with White House staff by phone this morning, and he'll participate in his planned meetings from the White House via phone and via Zoom.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me that the president of the United States uses Zoom? He doesn't have they don't have a closed circuit system. They use Zoom.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Staff by phone this morning, and he'll participate in his planned meetings from the White House via phone and via Zoom from the residence. The White House also says that consistent with protocol, he'll continue to work in isolation until he tests negative. And once he tests negative, he'll return to in-person work.
Yeah, I'll call it right now. He's out. He's done. This is it. You don't think so?
No.
Well,
I mean, for one thing, his symptoms, I read the symptoms, his symptoms are he's tired and he's got a cough. What else? How can they tell he's got COVID? He's always tired. He's got that cough. He keeps coughing.
No, let's just look at the reality of the situation. You can't believe anything
that's
telling you.
The thing is the one that, yeah, go on.
Well, no, you can't rely on anything they're saying. They had to take him off. They had to take him off the field. The guy was out of control. Do you have the cancer clip?
I have the. Did you get the new one? I sent the update.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you need to tell me about updates.
It's just it's a longer, better version of the clip.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got. Let me just save it to the bin. Oh man,
the bin. To the climate bin.
We used back in the day. You know, we had to have a messenger go out, take a reel to reel. Drive it over.
It's called Norflex. What was that little not the Norelco, but the other one that everyone had, this little tape recorder. Very famous brand. Everyone had to have
the dictaphone. Wasn't that what that
was? No. That's in business. The broadcasters used to use these things. It's not a Norelco, but it has a stupid name.
Trying to think what
and they
talking.
Never they didn't do anything.
Nagra,
exactly. Nagra. Whatever happened to them?
Well, they were German instruments of war, so we had to get rid of them. They were too good. Here's the longer clip.
My mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk, and guess what?
What?
The first frost, you knew what was happening. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer. And why I can't for the longest time. Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
So they had to pull him off the field. And I think they're just going to do it to him now. Look, if they're giving him Paxlovid, we know he's a goner. I don't know.
Okay, but let's go back over that clip.
The one you
did. The gunner part may have already started. Yeah. I want to play that clip again, and I want to just play it in chunks, and I want word for word translation of what he said.
My mother drove us.
My mother drove us.
And rather than us being able to walk.
Us being able to walk. What?
Okay, let's stop there. Stop there. My mother drove us, and right. rather than us being able to walk.
Yeah.
What kind of a sentence is that?
Let's see if he finishes it.
And guess what?
Oh, no, guess not. Guess what?
Guess what?
What? What?
The first frost.
The first frost.
You know what was happening.
You'd know what was happening. You'd know what was happening. No, I got it.
You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window.
Okay. You had to turn on your windshield wipers to get literally the slick off your window.
That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up with have cancer.
That's why I and so damn many people I grew up with have cancer because of the windshield wipers. Let's go back.
That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up with have cancer.
That's why I and so damn many people I grew up with have cancer.
And why I can't for the longest time.
And why I can't for the...
And what?
And why can't for the longest time?
And why can't for the longest time?
Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation for the longest
and can't
time.
Why? What and was can't that why? Again?
Okay, so your point is well made. Our president of the United States is demented.
He's totally out of. He's that whole thing was. People, I don't know how they put up with it. Oh, Biden's. I was listening to one of these talk. Radio guys on KGO, they have the left wingers.
Yeah.
And this guy's going on and on about how wonderful Biden is. And oh my God, if a Republican got in, we'd all be dead. This Biden is the best president we've had for decades. He just goes on like that. I'm thinking, does he pay any attention to anything?
Hey, you know, Joe's pretty honest though, when he's all messed up. I mean, he told us how he got COVID. He actually said it. I mean, he was out distributing it.
Respond to the pandemic, including donating more than 1 million doses of COVID-19 to the West Bank and Gaza.
Just how many doses do you need? They had to pull him off the field, John. They had to. They had to. It's just no. Stop. Get him off. They couldn't. Even get him, they couldn't even dope him up enough to sign the executive order for the climate crisis. Or they're so worried about what's going to come when that thing is signed that, I don't know. This just felt, the timing felt right for me that this was done on purpose. You know, I don't think he has COVID. I don't think he knows if he has COVID. The question is, will they keep him off or will they put him back in? And who slips in? Who slips in? Dick Morris. Wasn't he a big Clinton advisor, Dick Morris?
Yeah, we had Dick Morris on the Silicon Spin show once.
Is he a nice guy? He seems like he's pretty funny, even though he's dopey.
He's remote, unfortunately, so I couldn't really hang out with him, but he really pissed off one of the other guests. Oh. Who was very a well-known woman. I can't remember if she's well-known.
We're so well-known we can't remember her name.
Well, that's me. But she was sitting there grumbling as he, because, and she was saying into the mic, she said, can this guy ever stop talking?
Oh, wow.
Morris was a real mic hog, and it was very noticeable.
Well,
he seems to be a mercenary when it comes to politics.
Right. But he did work for Bill Clinton, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He worked for Clinton for a while. And then when Clinton got rid of him, he hated Clinton. Hmm. So he's one of those types of guys.
Hold on a second. Where's my, so he was, he was on, I forget what show he was on, but he just up and comes out and says, oh no, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to work. And he actually has a full-on explanation, and this is what we can look forward to in 2024.
He'll be the Republican nominee. He'll probably get it by acclamation. I don't think there'll be a primary. And he'll win the election. And his opponent is going to be Hillary.
He's talking about Trump, obviously.
In the election. And his opponent is going to be Hillary Clinton. Let me explain that. Already the Democrats are pressuring Biden not to run because they see what a disaster he would be, and Harris is no better. And the line of possible alternatives is queuing up. You have Gavin Newsom, governor of California, the governor of Colorado, Pete Buttigieg, transportation secretary. But ultimately, the left is going to have their candidates, and they'll probably run Sanders or maybe AOC. And that will trigger Hillary into the race in order to save the Democratic Party from the left, a rerun of the Hillary Sanders race of 16. And I think Hillary will win that contest. And I think she and Trump will face it off. And I think Trump is going to win handily. This is all spelled out in detail in my book, The Return, and Donald Trump's comeback in 2024. And you can read it in the book and then watch it unfold in the media and in reality.
Oh, okay. So it's always interesting when someone, first of all, brings Hillary in, which I've been a believer of for a long time, that she will run. She will run one more time. She's a big fan Hillary. But Dick Moore says, no, this is not what's going to happen. Trump's going to run, and Hillary will be running against him because the Democratic Party will need saving. And how does he know this? Well, because Trump basically co-wrote his book with him.
Trump gave me the inside story of what he's planning to do in 2024. And we developed it together in phone calls and in meetings. And it's Trump is not one to hold his cards close to his chest. He can't announce now because the accountants tell him he can't let the money come out of his campaign kitty for these rallies. But he's definitely running, and his mind is running. And we're going to do things totally differently in 24 than we did in 20. For example, there's a court decision coming up in the case of Moore versus Harper. Supreme Court will rule on it next term. That completely cuts the governors out of the process and the state courts out of the process of running elections for House and Senate and president. It's entirely the legislatures of the states. And in the five key swing states, Republicans control the legislature, but the Democrats control the governor. So we passed all these great bills prohibiting drop boxes, photo ID, no ballot harvesting, and the Democratic governors have vetoed them. But when the court rules in this case, which they will next term, it will completely cut the governors out of the process, and those bills will be veto-proof and take effect.
Interesting.
So stuff like that that I talk about in the book to explain the nuts and bolts of how Donald Trump is going to run and win.
Now, make sure you buy the book so you can follow along. Follow the bouncing ball.
He doesn't sound like he's all there, but...
I thought it was just interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it is interesting. And the thing is, it's in the bizarro world, it's actually a possibility.
Of course.
There were some election changes that took place. I have the clip.
Oh,
because I don't know if he's could push this into the
oh, this pile is about the Electoral Count Act?
Yeah, it's just this will get through and it's going to change a number of things. But what it does, if you listen carefully and read between the lines on this report, which is, I believe, is NPR, it makes it sound as though some of the ideas Trump had about Pence being here and doing this and doing that and some of the other stuff was well-founded, because they've had to actually codify some of this stuff where I guess it was very vague. Listen to this.
Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine negotiated the legislation with West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin. It updates the Electoral Count Act, a law passed in 1887 that many criticize as vague. The bill would increase the threshold for challenging any state's slate of electors to 20% of the members of each chamber. It would also spell out the role of the vice president, who presides over the process, as only ministerial. And Senator Collins says a second bill would increase penalties to those who threaten election workers and improve how the Postal Service handles mail-in ballots. The Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell, has suggested the law needs updating.
This, you know, it's interesting because along with this bill, which I'm not quite sure where it is, I've heard the term in the media, fake electors. Trump had a slate of fake electors. It's called an alternative slate, but okay.
I think that that's all related.
If it was the Democrats, there'd be an alternative slate. If it's Republicans, it's fake electors.
Fake electors. And this is a mainstream narrative. Oh, yeah. Oh, January 6th for Trump. It's fake electors.
Fake electors.
Crazy. I had fake electors all lined
all
up.
All these things were very common. They weren't uncommon. And,
no.
And I guess this law of 1887 was part of the reason that some of these things exist and some of these things were done. And so they looked at this law and said, this law is the problem. Let's change it. Which is what they're doing. And, Trump wasn't that out of bounds. He's out of bounds if you're just going to believe everything that, you know, these Democrats say without a Republican in the room, a real Republican in the room. And one of the two Republicans in the room was Kissinger, who's out. He's not even going to run again. He was on Face the Nation. And listen to his little back and forth with the Face the Nation woman. And this is about, you know, about Trump and in the limo.
Kissinger is the Republican who was crying.
He's the Republican along with Cheney. Oh, yeah. And he was an anti. He hates Trump. He shouldn't even be on this committee. And neither should Cheney, because they should, like you're always supposed to do, recuse yourself for being biased. But no.
She's on the gold team. She's on the gold team. That's her job.
CNN was reporting that a D.C. police officer who had been somehow involved in the motorcade arrangements was corroborating the testimony given by Cassidy Hutchinson, that there was an almost violent confrontation with the former president in the vehicle that day. Is that what the committee has been told?
I can't confirm or deny those because we haven't come out with who we have or haven't spoken to. I'll just say I'm not going to aggressively push back on that characterization. And we have every reason to believe that what Cassidy Hutchinson said, at least from what she said she heard, because she wasn't in the limo, never said she was.
She was told this by
others. She was told this.
Officers.
We fully believe that she is a credible witness, and her allegations are quite explosive.
Oh, yes. A witness of the telling.
A fourth party witness.
Yes, she's the witness of a telling of the story.
I heard from a friend of mine who heard from her sister's buddy.
Yeah,
that this happened.
Yeah, that's the same person I heard about the gerbil.
Are you going to tell us under? Are you going to tell us under oath that you heard this? Yeah,
yeah, of course.
I'm under oath.
Yes,
I'm under oath, and I'm telling you, I heard that. I heard that she said this about that, about this, about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
May I just remind everybody, this is not a real trial or anything. This is not a court of justice. This is a show, and it's a shit show. It's no good. There's no cool graphics. The scheduling's
all off.
They're
putting it back on TV again tonight.
I thought it was tomorrow night, the 22nd.
I thought it was Thursday.
Well, it would be stupid to put it on Friday night. So I thought it was the 22nd. Okay.
Oh, well, maybe. I mean, we could look it up.
But are they going to wrap it up? Is this it? Because No.
They said there's months to go.
Months. Really?
And they're learning so much. Yes. They're learning so much.
It's
they're
like so layers of an onion. We're just peeling it back. And the more we peel back, the more we look. There's more layers.
They're going to keep doing it until the November election, and it turns around, and next thing you know, the Democrats are running, or the Republicans are running stuff, and that'll change the tone of it.
You know, I just had a thought. What if Biden actually just died, and then like, oh, shit, now what? But tell everyone he has COVID.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're actually suggesting he is dead as we speak.
Now show me some evidence he's not, people. Get him on the balcony. Wait.
So it's like the queen.
Yes, of course. Now it's a matter of timing. Now we just got to figure it all out. But the Pope needs to resign. Then the queen can die. Then Biden can die. And then we're in the great reset. You know, someone hit me with a theory.
I think the Pope is in the reset thing. He can't die.
Oh, no, no. I said resign. He's not going to die. He's going to resign.
There's only one Pope in the entire history of the Popedom that's ever resigned, and it was for probably good reason.
Yes, and this one will do the same.
Well, he should. This guy's no good.
Yes,
not even
sure.
Catholic, and I know that much. Well,
yeah.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
It just hit me. I mean, why not? I mean, so we're thinking like they're trying to shut him up. What if the guy? I mean, clearly
they can keep it quiet.
He has cancer. I mean, anything could have happened.
And by the way, has anyone answered the cancer issue? What cancer does he have?
No, they came out with a statement.
Oh, they did? What was it?
He doesn't have cancer. He has dementia. Sorry, everybody. No, Here's what they did to answer that.
We begin with the heat emergency affecting hundreds of millions of people, both here at home and abroad. Heat like we've never seen before.
Never
a high temperature
before.
Of 113 degrees in parts of Texas and Oklahoma. The low temperature overnight
in
the mid-80s. Some calling it a heat apocalypse.
Yeah, but you weren't here during a heat apocalypse. Now, were you? Some.
It was just hot.
This is actual news. This is ABC News. Some are calling it a heat apocalypse. What, the dude on the sidewalk? Who is some? Scientists? Well, let's check out Texas again.
This morning, an already historic heat wave is expanding. 60 million people across the U.S. are expected to face temperatures of 100 degrees or higher in the coming days.
We've never put out a 10-day forecast quite like this.
In Texas, the 10-day forecast at our Houston station shows triple digits across the board for the first time ever.
No. Triple-digit heat looks like it's going nowhere in the foreseeable future.
Much of Texas has seen no measurable rain for weeks. Residents now being asked to conserve electricity and water.
We're experiencing a stress on our system because of peak demands with peak weather conditions.
Whatever you do, don't think about anything the president said. Please, peak demands. Whoa, we need turn on your air conditioner, please. Oh, climate change.
Across the globe, the two hottest years on record were 2016 and 2020. And every decade since the 1960s has been warmer than the previous decade. Experts say heat waves are getting worse due to climate change driven by human activity.
I know you're looking at me now and saying, okay. So you showed us 50 years. Our Earth is way older than this. And we've been way hotter than this. And that's true. However, those came with other signals and indicators like Earth's orbit or proximity to the sun. What we have right now, scientists say, the attribution to this rapid rise in temperatures, greenhouse gas emissions.
Shut up. It's science. It's science and it's global.
Overseas, the UK is expecting its hottest day on record today, while extreme heat fuels dozens of wildfires in both France and Spain. Two large fires in France have burned more than 40 square miles, forcing thousands of people to evacuate. The heat is also being blamed for more than 1,000 deaths in Spain and in Portugal, where the drought is blamed on climate change.
That's right. Spontaneous fire starting because of climate change. And how about this?
Let's just bring you some breaking news now. Sky News understands the RAF has halted flights in and out of RAF Bryce Norton because the runway has melted in this extreme weather. Now, Bryce Norton is in Oxfordshire. It's the largest RAF base in the country. And another source has been telling Sky News this afternoon that contingency plans have been implemented to ensure that there is no impact on any military operations today.
The runway has melted. It's just oozing goo. How will they ever land there again?
Hey, you know, I put in the newsletter one of these photos of these fires.
Yeah.
And it's all along the freeway. And you can see, because all the fires started right by the road, and they're all individual, that somebody's throwing matches or something out of their car as they drive by.
No, some were started,
this is all arson.
Some were started by people barbecuing outside. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that starts fires.
But yeah. I think there's a lot of, you know, it seems to me, because we started to see this in California, there's an excessive number of arsonists that seem to be young.
Yes.
We had one around. We had one here
from the Berkeley area. I know. They're all from Berkeley.
They could all be from Berkeley. They're not. This is the schools. They're teaching these kids to be arsonists.
Yeah.
Arsonism is one of the worst things you could do. I mean, it's one of the worst things. Being an arsonist is one of the worst types of persons you can be. First of all, at the base of it, it's always seen as a sexual disorder.
Really?
A lot of arsonists get off, literally, by a big fire.
Hmm. Oh, I'd love to see and some documentation of this. I like this.
You can look it up yourself, but it is documentable. And so the courts are very leery of arsonists because of this perversion. And they'll throw the book at them, and a lot of arsonists will get locked up for a very long time because they're sick people. And I think for some reason we're breeding them. I don't know.
Well, if it's sex related, you know, there seems to be a lot of education in that going on, certainly the Berkeley area. So maybe, you know, it's making people nuts. They're looking for an escape hatch. It's fire. Climate change. I don't know. This definitely must be sick individuals for sure. But luckily, old Joe is on the scene. He's going to take care of us.
No, he's dead. No.
Correct.
But how are you going to do this? You're the one that brought it up.
I'm going to keep it going. It's just I was leading into a clip.
You can't have quotes from him now.
This is before he was dead. This is BC before BB.
President Biden addressing climate change today, and as we have reported here, the president's efforts to pass legislation have been shot down, at least temporarily, by Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. Well, the president in Massachusetts today, where he called climate change a clear and present danger.
As president, I have a responsibility to act with urgency and resolve when our nation faces clear and present danger. And that's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
Literally, not figuratively, literally.
The president then went on to list some things he could do. Terry Moran with us from Washington. But Terry, the bottom line, without enough votes in the Senate, particularly from Senator Manchin, because it's 50-50, what can the president do on his own?
Not much, David, especially given the scale of the climate challenge. But as you say, the president did announce some smaller unilateral initiatives, $2.3 billion to make infrastructure more resilient in those communities most affected by climate change, help low-income Americans with their cooling and air conditioning expenses, and open up areas in the Gulf of Mexico for offshore wind power. But all that really is minuscule compared with the challenge, a national, global challenge that requires a national response, and that can only come from Congress. And without Joe Manchin or a single Republican, this will have to do for now.
Have they come up with a new version of that bill yet? It's got to be $1 trillion.
I don't know. It's not going anywhere.
No.
Manchin, you know, the problem, you know, they have is that this thing, and Manchin has no choice but to stay on the Republican side of this, because this bill and all these bills target West Virginia.
Yes.
I mean, it's a target state.
Yeah.
So Manchin can't vote for any of this stuff and never will be able to, because it's just a poke in the eye of the voters of West Virginia. He can't do it.
But we don't hear about
West Virginia is an energy producing state that's mostly coal bearing. It's just, you know, you can't support this stuff.
What happened to Sinema? We don't hear about her anymore.
I don't know that you know. I was thinking about that the other day myself. What happened? I haven't heard her voice.
She's just gone. Just they don't talk about her. She's not a problem anymore.
Well, she got censored by her own party in Arizona.
Oh, so they censored or censured?
Censured. I say censored.
Which means she can't talk?
Which means censored. Censured.
Yeah.
She got censured.
Censured.
No, it means that she got scolded. It's a scolding. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything. There's no, you know, jail time involved. I mean, I think Cheney got censured in Wyoming, too, by her party there. Didn't do anything. She got, now she's the head honcho over there in the hearings.
A lot of people, tweeted and sent me copies of the transportation secretary, mayor, affectionately known as Mayor Pete Buttigieg, of him saying, "Well, you know, everyone's just got to buy." I'm paraphrasing. Everyone should buy an electric vehicle. Yeah, it was
I saw that clip,
and I thought it was funny, but. He said a lot more in-depth stuff that I think is much crazier, really, when you think about it. And also,
did you get it?
Yeah, of course I did, from CNBC. Now, when you're on CNBC, you know, It's a different type of conversation.
It's a different vibe.
So, what's his face? You'll recognize his voice. The main host there of their morning show. He's saying, okay, so how does this make sense? You know, we got the gas is sky high. We've got this, looming climate emergency. You know, can't we just make it so that while we're working on the climate emergency, people can still have enough energy to cool their home in the summer and to heat it in the winter? That was the basic question. And Mayor Pete, he's had some kind of makeover. There's something going on with his face. I can't quite put my finger on it. Although he does have this mustache shadow, which looks a lot like the guy with the leather guy with the mustache and Frankie Goes to Hollywood. It's just, if you picture that on Mayor Pete, it's kind of creepy.
I can't.
Some people know what I'm talking about. And he's obviously running. I mean, he does not speaking as a transportation secretary. He's speaking as a candidate for president.
For example, if the president declares a climate emergency, executive order, we are going to stop oil and gas drilling in the outer continental shelf. We're going to do all kinds of things that will limit production of hydrocarbons at this time, with the idea that by 2030, everyone else is going to be along with us, and that will somehow, you think we're going to be able to change the weather between, or the climate between now and 2030? With what China?
Well, we've changed the climate between 2010 and now, and not in a good way. So yes, we can and
we
must
did?
Act to make sure that we reverse the worst effects of climate change. Look, some of it's upon us right now. This is not a question about whether it's going to happen or whether it's not going to happen.
Emissions are going to keep rising.
It's a question
until 20,
of,
they're going to keep rising.
It's a question of how
no
many
what.
Lives and how many livelihoods are going to be destroyed by allowing the worst effects of climate change to happen.
But right
and,
now, people,
you know,
are
I've never known the United States.
Heat.
I've
they're
never known the United
from
States
the heat for something that may or may not happen by 2030.
They're dying from the heat because of a climate-related extreme weather.
But we're not going to cut emissions
sooner
until 2030. In the meantime, they need energy to cool their homes and to heat their homes in the meantime.
Right, and as you know, I mean, the other thing that's striking is I've noticed some naysayers in the U.S. speaking as if the only power sources that exist are solar, wind, and hydrocarbon. Obviously, in Europe, they have a mix that relies partly on nuclear. We have more options that are being developed in the U.S., as well as being smarter and more efficient with the energy that we have. Energy efficiency has often been described as the fifth fuel. And in the transportation side of things, finding less carbon intensive ways to move our vehicles. Obviously, the leading and most visible example of that's electric vehicles. It's why we're fighting to make EVs cheaper. And it's why we're getting these charging stations out across the country. But I've never known the United States to be a country that looks around the world and says, what's the lowest common denominator? Let's do that. Or we don't have control over every piece of it. So let's sit back, accept the status quo and let some other country lead. That's not what America does. And I think what you're going to see from the president today is an insistence that America should be leading the way and challenging the rest of the world to catch up to us instead of matching some other country that isn't doing a very good job.
So he has literally no suggestions. Just, hey, man.
He had nothing to say. That was the most amazing thing I've ever heard. It was just
minutes.
A bunch of platitudes.
2 minutes.
We're a great country.
Yeah, and we're a great country. We put our shoulders behind the problem and we go, go, go.
You summarized it right there.
Yeah, and vote for me at the end. Vote for me. Well, this all, of course, comes down to there's just too many people on the planet. This is what these people are pushing. These people particularly. I mean, from the population bomb, I got a lot of feedback on the population bomb. But the Georgia Guidestones said 500 million people, that's all you need to have. And this was backed up by a surprising source at the World Economic Forum. The gorilla lady, Jane Goodall. Now, we know she's a... I think probably, what was it, 2 years ago, we played a clip of hers where she was also at World Economic Forum. It might have been a year old, where she was saying, oh, yeah, I know, because of climate change and too many people, that's why we get viruses and this is why we're all going to die. And so she's, you know, sweet old gorilla lady. So here she is.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because
you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
What do you think? 500 years ago, 500 million maybe at the time?
Well, I have the numbers.
Oh, fantastic. You have?
Well, I don't have them right here. I got to go to the other desk.
No, that's, well, there. That's very exciting.
Oh, no, wait, I got them right here. Oh, here.
Good.
Now, 500 years ago is what year? 1500?
Yeah, let's just call it that. No, 1500. Yeah, 1522.
Okay, 1500.
Who knew?
Oh, shit. There's a miss between the year. How many did you say?
I didn't say 500 million was the Georgia Guidestones, and Goodall says the amount should be the same as 500 years ago.
About 500 million.
Hey!
She's looking at the same stuff I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, but how does she come up with that being the right number?
Yeah, why is it the right number in the year 1500? Isn't it the Dark Ages?
So
when you wasn't that much more, I mean, it didn't grow that fast. It wasn't didn't really start taking off in growth until around after World War II, to be honest about it. I mean, the growth from, for example, 1900 to 1950. Well, let's see, 1900 to 1600, 1950 was 22.5 million. I'm sorry, 1.6 million to 2.5 million.
Right, but it took off right after the Second World War.
Yeah, it took off in the... 1700 was 610,000. 1500 was 500,000, 610. 1760, in 60 years, it went up by another 150 million. Then it went up and it kept going up.
How about 1900? What was 1900?
1900 was 1.6 billion.
So that was a lot. Okay. The reason I bring this up should be obvious. I've been making the link, which is we've discussed for over a decade, between the population bomb, the less human people, and the climate change people. They're the same people. And we had a discussion about Margaret Sanger and the American eugenicist movement from 1900, well, up until World War II, but really 1900, 1920 was a lot of activity. And I wanted to find something because, you know, you took a position and you were very clear. And you are right, of course, that back in the day, in the days of Margaret Sanger, these were accepted thoughts. Eugenics was a very accepted movement in the United States.
Yeah, until Hitler.
Well, you know,
co-opted it and everyone, oh, my God, Hitler
co-opted it or maybe was given that or saw it or was a fan of it. And
he was a fan. Everyone was a fan.
I went to the source. You will enjoy this source. This man wrote the book on it. He wrote the book. It's called War on the Weak. His name is Edwin Black, your friend.
Ah.
Edwin Black, who also wrote the book about
the writing phenomenon. This guy's the only guy who knows not a spook that produces so much copy.
In 2003, he did he gave a talk on C-SPAN 3 Book TV. With, I kid you not, eight people in the audience at the Tennessee Library. And he talked about the American eugenics movement, which is a part of his book that he had out in the time, War on the Weak. So I'm going to start with what he had to say about Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, at the time very active in the American eugenics movement.
Margaret Sanger was a famous eugenicist. You have to understand this was not just a movement of a couple of weird guys. This was entrenched national policy, and this was embraced and advocated by the power structure in the United States. All the presidents of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Harding. In the case of Margaret Sanger, there's of course a huge controversy as to whether she is a racist or not a racist or anything of that nature. And the documentation shows that Margaret Sanger was not a racist, but she was a bigot. She was not a Nazi or any kind of a Jew hater, but she surrounded herself with the greatest Nazis and Jew haters in the United States. People so virulent, they got fan mail from Adolf Hitler. And she did want to save humanity, but only the top 30%. And so terms like human waste and human weeds populated her speeches and her publications as she tried to relieve the teeming masses by ensuring that they stopped teeming.
So that should end any discussion about Margaret Sanger and should open.
Not necessarily. This could be. This seems to me to be a little bit of a very fine people.
I'm agreeing with you. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm agreeing with you.
Well, I mean, I still see her thing was about birth control. And to me, eugenicist has to do with killing people.
Well, eugenics, there's three types of eugenics. I've done a little bit of research.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know I'm having to fight from a defensive position.
Well, I'm not fighting you. That's the point. I'm not fighting you. I'm playing clips of your friend.
No, I know. I understand that technique, too. I watch sumo.
You like it? Okay, so let me throw you out of the ring. Just a few clips from Edwin Black. The whole thing has to be seen. Link in the show notes. Here he is discussing the foundations and the funding of the eugenics movement in America between 1900 and 1920. 1920, it was really well underway.
So these guys obtained immense amounts of corporate philanthropy to back their ideas. I'm talking here about corporate philanthropy engaged in ethnic cleansing. The Carnegie Institution, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Harriman Railroad fortune, pouring the equivalent of millions into the coffers of these gentlemen to establish research facilities on Long Island and elsewhere that would study how best to eliminate all of the defective, unwanted, unfit, and unacceptable types of human beings that they considered eugenically out of bounds. Now, what were some of their methods that they wanted? The first method that they thought about, one of the first, was gas chambers.
Yay!
Public gas chambers.
Now, gee, I wonder who picked up on that.
Remember, we're talking about the first 20 years of the 20th century, and they thought that the best idea was to march these guys into public gas chambers in groups, organized on a township or a county or a village basis, and within a period of time, these guys would disappear. But they concluded that our society was not ready for gas chambers.
Oh, it would take 20 years.
some individuals freelanced. For instance, there were mental hospitals in Illinois, one in particular that I describe in the book in Lincoln, Illinois, who fed their new patients milk from tubercular cows. Mm. And in so doing, infected these new patients, and then they allowed them to sleep in open dormitories to cross-infect the others. And by this method, they would have a 30 to 40% death rate of new patients. And tuberculosis, of course, was in that era as bad, if not worse, than AIDS is today. There were other doctors who would leave newborn infants who were defective or deformed.
Yeah, so it just goes on and on and on and on. But nothing was really quite acceptable, as the one thing they felt really, this will work. We can all live with this.
But in the main, they believed that euthanasia would not achieve what they wanted to achieve. And so instead, they opted for forced surgical sterilization. And they got it. They obtained legislation in 27 states that forcibly sterilized some 60,000 Americans. In addition to forced surgical sterilization, there was marriage restriction, marriage annulment. If they didn't like who you were married, they unmarried you. And of course, there was the effort to create concentration camps, which they called farms or colonies, for those who were so-called feeble-minded or racially unacceptable. They started out by calling these colonies for the feeble-minded. There were several in New Jersey, in Massachusetts, and eventually hundreds of thousands of individuals were incarcerated and then forcibly sterilized because they were deemed to be unfit. Now, what kind of people are we talking about who are unfit? We're talking about Southern Italians. We're talking about Eastern European Jews. We're talking about blacks, Indians. We're talking about Asians. And we're talking about white guys with brown hair. They believe that white guys with brown hair, the hillbillies, the hill folk, many of which were in these parts of Tennessee, were basically bastardizations and mongrelizations of the white Nordic ideal that they lionized.
So his whole talk goes through Hitler being a big fan of what's going on, and then Hitler adopts a lot of the eugenics that had already started in the United States. And in fact, I didn't clip it, but in fact, he says that it was IBM did work on the big Jamaica cleansing project. I forget the exact name of it, but there was in America, there was, you know, Ellis Island and all that. There was just too much physical paperwork to get the punch cards going. And according to Edwin Black, he says, well, because IBM was able to work with the Nazi Germany and get their punch cards in order, that they were able to actually create the Holocaust and round up the Jews.
Yeah, that's so, the second. But he did that. But that was a separate book that got a lot of attention.
Book. Yes, it's a separate book. Now, so I'm listening to this and it dawns on me. I'm like, holy crap. You know, this, of course, is white supremacy, and this white supremacy came from the royalty and really from Victorian England, and, you know, it came over from Europe. And this is real white supremacy in the purest form of the definition. And I think to myself, why is everyone bitching and moaning about slavery in America? Why are we only teaching people who have been swept up in the Black Lives Matter, Inc. movement only about slavery? Why are we not talking about this, which is more,
and why aren't we using that book as a text?
It's more recent history. It's much more relatable. It relates to the Holocaust. It kind of answers, you know, it's always like, well, Hitler hated the Jews. Well, why? Well, you know, they respond. No, this came from a much deeper place, from far, far away. And so I sent this link, this video, to the liberal high school teacher in Austin.
Oh, your buddy.
She comes back. We're texting. Says, holy crap, mind blown. And I'm like, you didn't know this? She said, well, yeah, kind of. I said, and I posed the exact same thing. And she's Jewish, so she's very into the Holocaust and all this stuff, and very afraid of Trump and the Proud Boys, that the Nazis are back and they're going to roust her. I'm not kidding. That's a very real fear for her. I'm not, and I wouldn't joke about it.
I'm sure it is.
It was very real for her. And I said, well, how come this is not being taught? She said, I can't teach this. So what do you mean? Well, one, the first thing my colleagues would say is, you're rewriting history. And two, it does not adhere to the TEKS, which is the Texas Educational Knowledge Standards. And she sent me this link. And she said, there's a social studies class, and they do mention this in that social studies class. And it's packed in between American.
You're talking about the eugenics movement in the United States? Is that what the problem is?
Yeah, this actual knowledge is tucked away in one little social
study. They taught that when I was in high school.
Not anymore, brother. Not anymore. And then, and I looked at all the, you know, it's tucked in between being female in America, you know, gender in the 19th century, all this stuff. And this is just not taught. But for her to say, I can't really do that, I can't do a lesson about this because A, it's not in the TEKS, and B, my colleagues would accuse me of rewriting history. We're lost.
The rewrite?
Well, it's not a rewrite.
It's real history.
But they don't know this history. Her colleagues don't know this history. And they will not believe it. And then just look at all this TEKS and all these people can't teach with this. There's no way to teach in this system. It's abhorrent. And all they're doing is
every state's got these issues. Sometimes it's such an extreme that you can teach is gender studies. That's okay.
Yeah. But this is my point. This is what a travesty that this is not, forget being even discussed, even available. I'm surprised C-SPAN still has it up.
C-SPAN has a lot of Edwin Black has been on C-SPAN quite a bit with these lectures.
Yeah.
In fact, a couple of his, he did one book on it. He's just really astonishing what he digs up. But anyway, he's a really outstanding researcher. I don't know why he should get some sort of a Nobel Prize or something.
Yeah, he should stay away from general aviation and hot tubs.
He doesn't get the attention.
Well, he's got my attention. He's got my attention. And then,
yeah, well, that's
So he says, look, this is nugenics, and we're going to see that the next time this comes around, it'll be corporations, and it'll be political, and it'll be about globalism, and boom shakalaka, that's exactly what we're in, and here's what's coming next.
These men thought that the same principles that guided peas guided the development and generations of human life, and they believed that poverty was a genetic trait, criminality, chastity, morality. So in other words, you weren't born into poverty. Poverty was born into you. And the best way to get rid of poverty and improve the world was to get rid of the people who had this genetic trait. As far as they were concerned, it didn't matter if you took an African, put him in a white toga, taught him to read Latin, and put him in Italy. That did not make him a Roman. That's exactly the type of language that they used. So it was not the character of your family. It was not your wealth. It was not your position or your education. What mattered was whether you were of defective ancestry, racially unacceptable, eugenically unacceptable, and whether your progeny would create more defective individuals for society. And this is what they wanted to get rid of. They believed, that you could breed a better human being in the same way that you could breed a better herd of cattle, a field of wheat, an ear of corn. And consequently, the government agency that put these guys together was the U.S. Department of Agriculture, because they wanted to breed a better species of man also.
And that's exactly what you're getting. And you know how they're going to do it. They're going to feed you bugs. And they know it, John, and they know it. This is that Christine Anderson, a member of European Parliament in the European Union. We like her. Here's what she has to say.
I'm pretty sure. I know how this pans out. It's like, you know, the member of the globalist elites, of course, they will still have their stake and whatever. And, you know, the regular people, they will be fit with bucks. So, sorry, I'm going to say this right now. I am not going to eat bucks.
Yeah, you will. She's right. The beef will be sold like caviar, marketed out of the price range of anybody. And we'll just be eating bugs and bug burgers and bugs everywhere. And they're teaching
get your yak right now, people.
And they're teaching the children. It's disgusting. This is, you're going to love this. This is a podcast. It's produced by Gimlet. Gimlet, one of those outfits that Spotify purchased for hundreds of millions of dollars. I think their main claim to fame is the, what's that, the new show? The one that was so big.
I thought their main claim to fame was they set up a studio in New York City and outfitted every single room with Neumann mics.
Well, there's that
to me is their claim to fame.
Yeah, there's that. So I think it was $250 million. And Gimlet, the great Gimlet. So they produce a show called Chompers. And one of our producers sent it to me. He says, Chompers is a podcast. It's about a 2-minute podcast. And it tells a little story, and it motivates the kids to brush their teeth. So in the evening, you know, when little Tommy has to go to bed, and you turn on this podcast, and it tells, and it, you know, they're literally instructing you, okay, now do the top, you'll hear it. And our producer here said, well, you have to listen to what they had this week.
Welcome back. It's time for Chompers, your morning and night toothbrushing show. Start brushing on the top of your mouth on one side, but don't brush too hard.
Three, two, one,
brush. It's Bugs Week, and tonight we've got the answer to the quiz from this morning.
So it's Bugs Week on Chomper. So while the kids are actually using their mouths and brushing their teeth, they're going to be indoctrinated with the goodness of eating bugs. It's Bug Week.
Which of these bugs do people eat? Is it ants? Crickets? Or beetles?
Do you know the answer, John?
All of the above.
Ready for the answer? Give me a drum roll by stomping your feet. The answer is all of them.
Woo! Yay!
Can you believe it?
Yeah!
Switch your brushing to the other side of the top of your mouth and give your tongue a brush too.
Okay, here we go. More bug news.
People all over the world eat insects as part of a healthy diet.
Healthy!
Bugs like ants, crickets, beetles, butterflies, grasshoppers, moths, and even worms are used as food.
Yeah.
And for a good reason, too. Bugs can be really good for your body. Insects like grasshoppers are full of nutrients. Like
nutrients!
Protein!
Yum!
Switch your brushing to the bottom of your mouth and brush the molars on the way back.
Imagine a bug crunching and sliding down your throat, child.
Eating bugs is good for the planet, too.
Oh!
When farmers raise a lot of other animals that we eat, like pigs and cows, the animals release a gas called methane in their farts.
Oh,
methane is called a greenhouse gas, which means it's bad for the planet. And bugs don't really fart, so they're good for the planet and good for you.
Bugs don't really fart. They're good for you.
Switch your brushing to the other side of the bottom of your mouth and brush all the way around each tooth.
While I give you some more tactile feel about having a bug in your mouth.
You should always check with a grown-up before you eat something. But if you do want to try eating bugs, there are lots of places where you can try them. In Mexico, grasshopper...
All right, I have to stop. I mean, this is indoctrination of the highest order.
So there was a report that came out, and I was sent it by one of our producers, and I followed up on some of it. I was going to put in the next newsletter, which is that the PBS has been given the assignment. I haven't found out who gave them the assignment, but they're going to promote bug eating. And there's a Nova, I think it comes out this week, about how great it is to eat bugs. And if you go to the PBS page, the Nova page, you see all the follow-up stories, other stuff you can check out about bug eating.
Bugs, yeah.
So there's coming. A bug movement going on. They're really pushing it. you're at the forefront. Yourself of noticing, and that woman in the EU, noticing this trend that they're going to be promoting bugs to an extreme. And so you want to go, and the thing, I posted this on the No Agenda
social,
which is a link to the Nova Twitter announcing the bug show.
The bug show? Oh, this is the show. Okay, it's called the bug show.
It's the show about eating bugs. Nova.
Oh, goodness.
It's science. And so I posted this for the reasons that you want to read the thread. It is unbelievable. As a lot of people actually pointed out, because it goes on for days, that it is heartwarming, the thread of people saying, eat shit, fuck you, and just on and on and on.
So
I'm not eating
heartwarming,
bugs.
So heartwarming.
Go, there's GF, let's see, GFY. I was looking, what's GF? Oh, GFY. Everyone's saying GFY. And so I'm saying, oh, okay, I get it. And so, it was heartwarming. It was heartwarming telling the Nova people to go pound sand.
Well, you're absolutely right when you say go get your yak meat. Or did you receive your box from Texas Slim yet? Did you get your beef?
No, it's supposed to be. I think he's shipping it. He either shipped it. It might come today or tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
No, but it's coming though.
But luckily, just in general, through in No Agenda Nation, this is what you can get at your meetups. When they pull this trigger, they're just going to make it too expensive. I mean, you're already not getting American beef; you're getting beef driven up from Brazil. It's shit. Just this, there's only four food processors. So get to know a farmer, get to know someone where you can get direct access
to
animals.
It.
Yeah, and but do it because you will need
also
it.
Also, get to know some jelly farmers and. people to grow berries.
No, you definitely want to get all as much as you can, but go shake a farmer's hand or a rancher's hand. Meanwhile, all we're concerned about in the United States about when it comes to food is stories like this.
Well, next, a lawsuit that claims that Skittles are not safe to eat.
What?
A California woman says the popular candy contains heightened levels of a color additive called titanium dioxide. The lawsuit claims the chemical compound is a known toxin that makes Skittles unfit for consumption, but the candy maker Mars says it complies with FDA regulations.
Oh no, Skittles is unfit for human consumption.
Titanium dioxide, which is also used as a pigment for white paint.
Yeah.
It's white.
Yeah.
Very white. It's a nice white. That's been in food forever. I don't know that it's toxic.
This is a hit job. Something going on.
It's a hit job, but from who and by why and what for what purpose?
It's to distract you from the bugs. I don't care about the bugs, but what's up with Skittles? I sold Skittles for years to pimply-faced teenagers. Taste the rainbow. That was one of the main sponsors on MTV. I probably killed a whole generation.
Skiffles was what I liked.
Skiffles? There's no Skiffles candy.
Skiffles. That's Al Sharpton's pronunciation.
Someone got mad at me on Twitter. Of course. Stop saying jitty. It's giddy. You don't know? Can't you read?
What an idiot.
I said, you must be new to the show. Oh, it's an inside joke? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, it's an inside joke.
All of our stuff is inside jokes. That's what makes this show so charming. We're on the topic of education in Texas and elsewhere. I have a series of clips.
Let's go. Nah, screw COVID. The president's dead. Long live the president.
A series of clips are from queer teachers. It's not my term. It's what they call themselves.
Yeah, sure.
And they seem to be a little different than the lesbians. And I think there is this war. You pointed it out, and I started looking for it, which is the war between, to get rid of the gays, to get rid of the lesbians.
Yep.
And leave all the rest to themselves to indoctrinate the kids and get more kids.
And get all the benefits. Get all the goodies.
So here we go.
Okay, where do we start here?
So we're going to start. These are all TikTok.
Ah, okay.
It's a gold mine.
Now, do you have an actual TikTok account?
No.
Okay, good. I'm a little worried about you. I have grown-ass men who I know. Mike, the former cop.
No.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man, take a look at this video on TikTok. It's hilarious. So what's wrong with you?
I go through the clearinghouse of libs of TikTok.
Yeah, well, that, of course, is the only way to go.
I don't want to get involved because I got stuck on the TikTok page. It's very hard to get off.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who are these people?
Emailing me like, who is this woman? I'm like, what's wrong with you? I literally replied to you. What's wrong? Why are you surprised? It's all right.
Okay, here we go.
What do we start with here?
We're going to start with queer teacher one dork.
I am an openly queer teacher. Now, I don't stand in front of my elementary students and be like, I like women. But I wear a bi flag watch band, bi flag bracelets. In my classroom, I keep a rainbow flag. It's got Mickey Mouse on it because I love Mickey. But it's got a rainbow. My kids know what it means.
Question. How old are the kids she teaches? Do you know?
All these teachers are grammar school teachers.
Okay.
This is me telling them I am a safe place to talk without making a big deal out of being queer. Side note, I shaved the side of my head. Love it! Okay, going back to the main topic. Anyway, so because I am openly queer, my students trust me, especially my queer students. I teach fifth grade this next school year. I've been teaching fourth grade for the last 4 years. Anyway, right now I'm teaching summer school and I have third graders. Like I said, I wear these bracelets to let them know I'm a safe space. Two third grade students came to me and asked me to use they, them pronouns and also asked me if I could tell other teachers this. I said, kiddos, I would love to do that for you. I'm so glad that you trusted me with this information. One student in particular also asked to use a different name, one that is not gendered, has what they were born as. So I gave this information to the other teachers and then got scolded because that was not appropriate for me to communicate, at least not in the form of communication that I used. I used the main form of communication that we had within these groups of teachers. And I hear today.
What does that mean? I don't understand what she did. She didn't use the right form of communication. What did she speak? She should have written a memo. What do you know what that means?
She never explains it.
Mm-hmm. Let me finish her then.
At least not in the form of communication that I used. I used the main form of communication that we had within these groups of teachers. And I hear today, after I have already communicated this with them multiple times, these teachers are still misgendering these students and still using the wrong name for the one who asked for a different name. I don't care what you believe, but when you refuse to respect a queer child's request for pronoun and name changes, you are hurting them.
All right, so I just need to preface this, that this is one of your personal, it's as if you've just discovered this is going on, but it doesn't matter because you are very disturbed by it. And I think you're really trying to get to the bottom of where this is coming from, what is it all about, and probably how do we eradicate it. And I'm kind of just riding your coattails, Boomer.
Now, a couple of things. One, and what's overlooked in all this, by the way, that kid who wanted his new name and when the pronoun curiosity or the change of pronouns, those are the third graders she's talking about. Now, why does a third grader even know about they, them, and why do they think it's important?
Because of the teacher. Important? Because the teacher explains
because
her bracelets.
Because the teachers are not, the teachers are more than teachers, they're influencers. So you put these influencers. I remember that I had a crush on my second grade teacher.
I had a crush on my third grade teacher, Mrs. Carlstead. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Miss Rose was dynamite. No, my third Carlstead, grade teacher was not as pretty.
No, Mrs. Carlstead was great because she was also kind of stern. Yeah.
That's you. That's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, now, that's, me. that's on me. I'm sorry.
So teachers are influencers, and they have their role models and influencers. And in the first grade, second grade, third grade, as these clips go on, there's four of them.
I even remember my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Casper, she was beautiful. She was like a princess.
I can't remember my kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, it just hit me. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mrs. Casper, holy moly, yeah.
I don't know if that growl was necessary, but okay.
I'm sorry.
The point is that.
Yeah, they're teaching it. They are bringing
the teachers
in.
Are more than teachers, and they're influencers, and influencers. They are influencing, and they're making a point of influencing.
And I'm just going to play the other side of it because it would be boring if all we just do is say, oh, this is crazy. Teachers, I believe. Teachers are meant to influence children through their, through some freedom to be able to teach. And I think, just as we were discussing, our liberal high school teacher, she should have the freedom to influence people to at least go look at other alternatives of history so that we understand what really happened. So they are meant to influence, but this is clearly focused on one area only.
And these teachers are preoccupied with sex.
They're probably arsonists.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to number two.
Wanted to make a video talking a little bit about what it's like being a teacher and being
This is a different teacher. She's a little older and she's a little more nervous. And she finally got around to making a video. And here we go.
And sharing that part of myself with my students and my colleagues. Because it's a really vulnerable position to be in where you're continuously choosing to share parts of yourself with your community, especially when it's something that you don't know how people are going to react and you have no control over how they're going to react to the information that you share. And being queer is still a thing that a lot of people are uncomfortable with and scared of, and so they don't understand queer people because they don't see queerness in their communities at all, which is why it's so important to me to be like out in my classroom and be visibly queer, and it's why I wear these earrings and I have pride flags up. because I think having queer teachers helps students to kind of break down and combat stereotypes that they see out in the world. Especially like with me, I don't fit into a lot of like the typical lesbian stereotypes. And so when I come out to people, a lot of them are shocked because I don't look like what they expect, right? And so I think having that exposure and that experience of knowing that you have someone that you're interacting with who does belong to the queer community and is a real person is really helpful.
Yeah, so listening to this, she has been programmed to believe that that many children have gone through this trauma that she has gone through, and they're going through it right now at this very moment, and she needs to rescue them by making queer, by normalizing it so that it can be discussed, so that they feel comfortable around it. And maybe one of these TikTok teachers will explain exactly what queer means.
Oh, don't expect that. So it's a funny group. I personally don't, and I will say this. I know that I won't get any flack.
You'll get canceled. Audience. You'll get canceled.
I've been canceled. So I just don't think these people should be teaching. They seem unstable to me. But let's go to this one. This is this will be a two-parter because she is all part of the same clip, but she cuts in the second part later. I don't know how why she did it this way, but this is the now this girl considers herself not queer but non-binary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very, she is a real problem, this one. And this is a non-binary 3A.
I've been wanting to do content around this day, which is really important to me as this is my first year as I'm out as a non-binary teacher. But it's hard. It's hard to think how to talk about it and how to make it pithy and catchy. And I sent what felt like a pretty vulnerable email out to my colleagues, suggesting a whole bunch of resources for each division and offering to come into their classes. And I'm so grateful to the three allies or accomplices who invited me into their class today to read. I just read They, She, He, Me, Free to Be, to a grade one class and...
Grade one.
Grade one.
I just read this book to a grade one class, and one of the students came out as trans.
Oh, goodness.
She was trans, and we talked to her parents last night about me coming in, and they'd given it the go-ahead, and it was such beautiful proof that kids of any age are absolutely capable of accepting anything that they are taught with love, because her class didn't bat an eyelid. Didn't bat an eyelid at me not being a man, woman, both or neither. Didn't bat an eyelid at her having been born a boy, and were able to make all kinds of beautiful personal connections. So please, no matter what age your kids are or what age you teach, it is so important that you teach them that trans people are valuable.
Oh, wow. I'm reflecting now back on my own childhood. And I remember how weird it was to even find out that a teacher was married. I mean, a teacher wouldn't even say, you know, if a teacher said, well, Mr. Carlstead, it would be kind of weird. You know, I think.
I don't know. Now, as you mentioned, that's a very good one. Good catch. I don't remember first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. And throughout most of high school, I don't know that any of them were married or not married. I had no idea. It wasn't part of my learning. I didn't to know about their personal life in any way.
I didn't know
if they were city councilmen. I don't know if they were volunteer policemen. I don't know anything. I didn't know any of that. I didn't care to. I don't see that it was important to me.
I grew up in Amsterdam in the 70s, very liberal. You know, people got their boobs out on the beach, co-ed locker rooms at sport clubs, you know, just a very, very chill We all knew that Mr. Timmer, who was our German teacher, that he was beyond gay. I mean, he basically came into the class with his chaps, but he was just, you know, and he was a constant smoker, and he was just fascinating to look at. I don't remember any of high school because, hey, Amsterdam. But none of this, teachers were teachers. They're there to teach. And when I was in fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher got married, a man, he got married. And we were all invited to the reception. I remember going, and I just remember being struck by, all of a sudden, he became more of a human. Like, and he had a wife, and there was his family. And it just, no, that it seemed like it much better if you just kind of kept it professional, you know, and you got your school.
Keep it professional. Exactly. That's the right word.
And then, now, one other thing. I mean, it's one thing to be doing this, but to literally go on TikTok and broadcast poorly about this is odd. This is very odd.
Now, this, by the way, all these women, with rare exceptions, I'm going to play some other one that's not really part of this.
I have another question. So knowing that TikTok has phenomenal algorithms, I'm sure that everybody around the world is getting the same teachers, right? They're seeing those teachers in China talk about this. I'm sure that
China has a different algorithm.
No kidding. This is your eugenics at work right here.
I think it's better that we get this stuff. Oh. I don't want to watch. What's China is just showing a bunch of people doing calisthenics. And who cares?
And nobody's watching that. And being successful. No, I understand. From the entertainment value, I'm all in. I'm just saying that kids watch TikTok. You know, so they're getting indoctrinated by this. The algo probably targets them. Once you watch one, you get 1,000 of them. I know how this works.
These people don't look. They don't look right. And they all have nose rings. The one that's in the middle, that like a cow.
You know that when Christina had got one of those years ago, I literally hooked the dog leash up to it. And, okay, you're mine. And dragged her around the house. She still has
that. That is the ugliest ring. I don't understand what the appeal is.
That's, you know, we're just older, so that
we're just old farts.
It's body art and body modification has been going on since way before.
People want a scarification's a big deal too. So what? I want to go back to the thought that goes behind all this stuff, and that last woman that talked, and she just seems like a nervous wreck. And then there's the second part of her clip. I want to play that, and then I want to play a sub quote from her first part, but let's play the second part. This is the non-binary woman.
You're really quite into this. You're really disturbed.
I'll tell you what bothers me.
Yeah.
I don't think these people should be teaching.
Okay, let's go.
They're too influential. You just had a situation where a first grader, a little boy, decided because of the teacher that he's trans. A first grader. Mm-hmm. What grade? What, a six-year-old? He's trans. What made him decide this? I mean, sex doesn't even come into your brain until you're 11 or 12, let alone. You were jerking off at six? I don't think so.
Oh, that's let me just mark that so we can have that as the opening show clip.
Yeah, that won't happen. So
I didn't say anything.
I mean, if you want to accept 11. All this as okay, that's fine.
Why are you mad at me? Why are you so mad? I'm on your side. I'm on your side.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Hey, hold on a second. Don't say that I'm all in favor of this. I'm just trying to make the show entertaining.
You don't think this is entertaining?
Yes.
Clips?
What I don't find entertaining is podcasts where both hosts are all like, look, no, I'm going to push back. That's the format of the show.
Hey, friends.
Hey, you're ruining the pace and flow. Let's go to Tick's non-binary 3A.
Hey, friends. I'm back after another class, still with my lovely N95 redness, and I just wanted to say...
What? Her N95 what? Red mask?
Redness.
Because of her mask? Oh!
She had a mask, and it's lovely.
It's proud.
She's proud. Virtue signaling her stupid mask wearing.
Proud of it.
That's still with my lovely N95 redness, and I just wanted to say, it's been such a powerful day. I had another student come see me and make a plan to come out to his class.
Yeah.
because she hadn't felt confident doing that yet. And so that was really exciting to see that happen and to be able to facilitate that.
Oh, wow. Coming out used to be a huge thing. You'd have the family. Now the teacher just facilitates it.
Yeah, in the first grade.
Well, of course. I mean,
don't forget, she's a first grade teacher.
Are these teachers millennials?
They're all, yes.
Oh, then
I want to play the sub clip. Then I want to play a kicker. And the sub clip is what she said in her first little commentary. And I said, and she said it unironically. But what she said is the most important thing she said, which is the tick. Read the play tick sub quote.
Foolproof that kids of any age are absolutely capable of accepting anything.
Whoa.
Kids of any age are absolutely accepting of anything. So you could turn them into the Hitler Youth, no problemo.
Well, it's
They're
been done before.
Of anything.
Yes, it's been done as long as it's supported by authority figures.
Like the teacher.
Correct. I'm all in on that.
I just thought that clip was the best of the clips. Now, I want to play this one. Well, first, I mean, there's a couple more in here we can play in the meantime, but I want to play this one first. And this is an old lesbian. And I say she's an old lesbian because she's on TikTok and I look at her. She's an old lesbian. She's a lesbian.
All right.
She is very, she, and I would say that if you were going to call her a name, you'd call her a TERF.
Trans exclusionary radical female. Horrible. These lesbian TERFs.
So this TERF, or she never says she's a TERF, so I'm not going to call her one. But she comes on and she summarizes what we just played, what I just played, all these clips. This is what she thinks about. And she is, but she is an old lesbian who has been through it. And here we go.
If only I knew which clip I'm supposed to play.
Oh,
I'm looking for old lesbian as a title. No, I'm looking white okay. Women.
This will be gays against groomers.
So here it is, the most unpopular opinion I'll ever do. I hope you guys duet and stitch and save or whatever you need to do to this, because it's going to get down fast. If I would have understood when I was younger that fighting for my rights as a lesbian would mean allowing children to drag shows, attaching child molesters to our community, and allowing children to change their sex before they even know what their favorite color is, I would have never done it. Never.
Oh, interesting. Has she been deplatformed yet?
Well, I don't know who she is, but the point is, and I think this is a stance of a lot of old gays, old lesbians who've seen what can happen when the tide turns the other way. It's not pretty.
And they're starting to speak up, John. They I mean, the 40.
Well, she just spoke up, and she knew it was going to be controversial. And I think a lot of them are going to have to speak up without being called TERFs and all the rest of it that happens to them. But they're going to have to speak up because this is not going to stand what's going on. This insanity is just not going to work.
Did you hear about a new lesbian bar that was shut down?
Yeah.
In Portland.
Same thing. This is a good example.
After 1 week, it was Doc Marie's, a lesbian bar was shut down because the Marie Equi Workers Collective said, we felt misled about this. This is the people who are working there. They decided not to show up for work. We felt misled about the space being safe and welcoming. Our vision, now remember, this is a lesbian bar. Our vision is a queer worker-owned cooperative that is ran democratically, provides mutual aid, and hosts free opportunities for education to our community. Yesterday, we presented a list of demands, including owner resignation and relinquishing stake to workers, which as of 7 p.m. on July 4th, 2022, have not been acknowledged despite being past the agreed upon 24-hour deadline. And these people even tried to, we're going to talk to the community. No, it's done. It's toast. And that is, it's all about getting rid of the lesbian part. The gays are done. They got monkeypox. F off, gay guys. We got those over to the side. They are, you can't even let them into the bar because they could have monkeypox. Now the lesbians, because they're not queer. Oh, yeah. But especially the gay men, what we call older gay men, so 40 and up, they're getting vocal. And they're going to, and you watch, because they're also buff and can beat the crap out of you.
So, a lot of them are. A lot of them are big.
So I'm really hoping a lot of our gay producers, male gay producers, a bond with the L's, guys. It's time you two get together, maybe.
Yeah, it should just be G&L.
G&L.
Now I have one bonus clip, which has got nothing to do with the whole train of thought that came and went there.
Well,
but this is another one of these teachers that is. But I just thought this was funny because she has a dilemma. She's trying to teach, you know, the gender stuff, and she's got some issues with slang and how she doesn't know what to do about appropriation and this. And this, I found that this to be one of the funnier clips of some, I would say, but just use an old slang term, dykey, fourth grade teacher. fourth grade teacher. That is just beside herself over this one screwball issue, which makes no sense to me because I don't see how you think you'd go the other way with thoughts on this problem.
I'm a fourth grade teacher, and I do a lot of work with social justice and equity in my classroom. We have racialized conversations all the time, and my kids have gotten very good at this type of discussion. But there's one thing that keeps coming up that I'm not quite sure how to tackle. It's the slang with cultural appropriation of slang terms like sheesh, they're doing that a lot, or like, oh, that's fire. And I think this one I'm having trouble knowing how to start the conversation because I don't know what my goal is in the end. And this is where I would like a little feedback from anyone who's willing to give it on TikTok. Am I asking kids not to use the slang that comes up because it's probably culturally appropriated from POC, or am I asking kids to do the research to find out where things come from and respect those cultures like we have been doing anyways? But I don't know. I just don't know how to start the conversation because I don't know how to end it.
What a dilemma.
My mouth is hanging open on this one. Okay, hold on a second. First of all,
what a dilemma.
From now on, whenever you start one of these segments, look at the age group because we have a jingle.
Millennial Minute. It's the Millennial Minute, okay?
It's a new one. I think it's getting there.
Now, I'll finish the segment with something.
Well, no, you're not going to. I'm going to finish the segment. I've been waiting patiently. You get to finish.
Okay, well, I got one more, and then we're done.
You're done.
Now, this is a millennial again.
Yes.
And she's got the nose ring, and she's actually eerily attractive if you could take the nose ring out.
Mm-hmm.
But she is, this only reason I just clipped this is because it kind of comes to mind something I wish I had clipped now, which was one of the documentaries on I think it's still floating around on Robert Maxwell.
Okay.
And they interviewed all these different people that work for Maxwell. Maxwell is the big giant publisher who's the father of Ghislaine Maxwell, who we know all this.
And he walked off his boat and died, we think.
Yeah, or was pushed off or fell off. Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah. And I think he was murdered, but that's okay. The one secretary he had that was in the office all the time said that when Ghislaine called Robert, the two of them would meow to each other.
Really?
For a good 1 or 2 minutes.
So father and daughter meowing at each other?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not creepy.
No.
At all. Okay.
So what caught my attention was this TikTok video from this kitty, she calls herself. And I don't know if this is a furry. I don't know if this is a furry thing. She never says. Maybe it is. But she talks about this, and there's, I guess, a whole group of people that meow at each other.
I'll be teaching you guys some ways that my friends and I meow to one another.
I've seen this one. You're sure she's a teacher?
No, no, she's not a teacher.
Oh, she's just a millennial.
This is a TikTok video that's my last millennial, since you mentioned millennial. She's a millennial.
Yeah.
I'm teaching you guys some ways that my friends and I meow to one another.
She has all the qualifications to teach.
I'm teaching you guys some ways that my friends and I meow.
Like nose ring check. Dropping the
teeth check.
Meowing check. You're good to go.
I'm teaching you guys some ways that my friends and I meow to one another to communicate when words just seem a little too difficult. So here we go. Okay, so first off, we have the normal meow that we just use mostly to get each other's attention.
Meow.
Okay, then we have the dissatisfied meow. Then the angry meow, but we only use this one on rare occasions because overall we're a very happy kitten family. Then the happy or content meow.
Meow.
Okay, then one of the most important ones for our kitten family is the I want to go potty meow. It took me a really long time to master this meow because
this is my favorite part.
It used to be a really specific.
It took me a really long time to master this meow. You know, I was like taking a shit meow. It was like really, really hard to master this one.
In order for my kittens to understand.
And by the way, just so everyone knows, I think she's very serious. I watched this and it looked real to me.
She's dead serious.
This is the most important meow for me, and it's the I need help wiping meow.
What?
I didn't know that cats needed help wiping. I thought they had a built-in mechanism for that. It's called the carpet. You just rub your butt on the carpet.
Okay, and last but definitely not least.
But stop before you finish it. What does she, this girl, need help wiping? Does she need toilet paper? Or why don't she ask for that? She can speak English.
Well, John.
What do you mean she needs help wiping?
She needs help.
Does somebody got to go over there and help wipe her ass? I mean, come on.
Okay, and last but definitely not least is our in heat meow, and we use this when we need a little bit more special kitten attention, if you know what I mean.
Meow. Meow.
Okay. You don't get a clip of the day. You don't get a borderline or anything. That was pollution. That's podcast pollution, is what that is. But because you did this, I'm going to write that down. Podcast pollution somehow.
Podcast pollution. We got it on this show. We got everything.
We surely do. And it's about to get a whole lot worse. This obsession of yours, it's minor obsession, but I understand. Started when you were corrected by a millennial in your family. It's happened to all of us. That you said something about someone and you misgendered them. It's them. It's they, them. Mom, dad, it's they, them. So this is a problem. It's certainly, I don't think I've ever had to deal with it with someone face to face where they asked me to use pronouns or where it was an issue. I see it on emails. I ignore it. So I stay at home. And before I even get into this clip, I asked the liberal high school teacher, I said, girl, I said, why don't you just leave, go into the homeschooling community? I think you'll make more money. You'll have a bigger impact on children. You'll have more time, a hell of a lot of stress. And her answer was, yeah, I wish I could, but I have 6 more years for my retirement. And so she's locked in. She said, She said, if I could get out, I would. She said, in a heartbeat. But she's locked in. She's unmarried. So, so she has to get her pension. So it's sad when I hear these things, when the situation they have to work in, and these are their colleagues. Now, this is also an issue in the workplace. And many people don't know how to deal with it. We have an entire industry that is the DEI industry. Which really is HR. Once HR came in and got a whole lot of power in the corporations, and this really started in the 90s, I saw it happen. And part of it was the lawsuits, public companies would have director and officers insurance or other kinds of liability. And there would be ambulance chaser lawyers down at the door. And as women walked out of my building, we were listed on NASDAQ. Hey, did anyone say anything to you like, hey, sweetie, you look great today? Because, you make a lot of money, we're going to sue them. And so that didn't happen with us, but this happened. This happens all the time. This Thomas J. Henry, I'm sure he'll take care of you. So how do you deal with that in the workplace? So now we have, just to add insult to injury, we have an entire force of human resource officers. You remember that one who we played a little while ago? She was trending for half a second with like, we're human resource. We can fuck you. We can make sure you don't get a job. Remember that? That crazy?
No.
Well, we played it. So they have a lot of power and they like to wield that power. But in this case, we have not one, yeah, but two millennials. One is the news reader, local news reader for KOB4 New Mexico. And the other one is a local human resource officer who will help explain a very difficult problem in the workplace. John, this is tailored for you.
Pronouns in the workplace. Do you know what your coworker prefers? Well, joining me today is Heather Talamante, founder of Tell Us About Yourself, Inc. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Of course.
Good to have you back. So first off, let's talk about DEI in the workplace, and that's better known as diversity, equity, and inclusion. How do we go about the discussion of pronouns?
So essentially, the employee will reach out and say, hey, this is my preferred pronoun. This is how I would like to be addressed in the workplace. How we go about it is by respecting their request, right? So you want to make sure when they say, this is what I would like to be referred to, we address it and we honor that.
Okay, so far, it's okay. I've had a lot of people ask me to call them different names, different than where what you would be expected to call them. And if someone says, hey man, could you just call me shithead? I do it. You know, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me, but it's not that simple.
Moving forward, use that term, whether it's he, she, they, them, their, whatever they would like to use. We want to make sure we honor that.
Whatever they would like to use.
Request and make them feel comfortable in the workplace.
Is it appropriate for someone to ask what someone's preferred pronoun usages are?
You probably wouldn't want to ask. That person would ask you. Okay.
This is what you hear these teachers talking about. You probably wouldn't want to ask someone with a nose ring and blue hair how they'd like to be addressed. You wait until they ask you. In what world is this normal human intercourse? So you can't, what pronoun do you use? That would be insulting. You probably don't want to do that. Wait until they ask you, could you please address me by my pronouns?
Use that term, whether it's he, she.
Hold on. This is where we're on that thought. That's interesting, because what it's creating is a situation where the since we use hierarchical systems in our businesses,
yep,
that turns it upside down, because now the employee is in the corrective mode. Mm-hmm. So the employer, by mispronouncing somebody, misgendering them, as it were, as the boss, now they get to be corrected.
Yep.
Oh no, you're wrong, boss. You should be using they, them for me.
Is that not exactly what our children are doing to us? Oh no, you're wrong, Dad. It's they, them. So this is being taught, and it's a power game. This is well thought out.
Hello, Marxism.
It's well thought out. This is a power game, and the human, and there's of course lots of valid reasons for human resources, but I don't think this is one of them.
Whatever they would like to use. We want to make sure we honor that request and make them feel comfortable in the workplace.
Is it appropriate for someone to ask?
Honor the request
and make sure they feel comfortable in the workplace.
Preferred pronoun usages are.
If I learned one thing in 15 years, I don't feel very comfortable in this workplace with you, Dvorak. Just saying.
You probably wouldn't want to ask. That person would ask you.
Okay.
So, you know, if you, if they haven't fully made the decision on what pronoun they would like to use, let them come around to that decision and then ask. If they haven't asked yet, it's not safe to assume. We don't want to make any assumptions.
Right. Yeah. So this is going to...
It's not safe to make any assumptions. So if they've not come around to it, then you just can't do anything, because you might assume a they when they're really just a plain old he, him. So you're a loser no matter what. There's no way for you to win this permission game.
Have people be more patient, or have to be patient?
You do. You have to be patient. If you are the employee that is asking for a new preferred pronoun or a pronoun that's not necessarily natural for individuals yet, just be patient as they learn to use the new pronoun or to address you by that pronoun. Also, if as you're learning to address an individual by a pronoun, you can always just use their first name. Mm-hmm. Can't go go wrong with their first name, right? So
right?
Colton is over there.
Right.
Colton will be here soon. So you don't have to use a pronoun at all. If you're
That's our way out. That's our way out.
Shouldn't it be Mr. or Ms.?
Now you're just stoking trouble.
All I'm supposed to do is just refer to somebody as Colton. Curry. Hey, Curry. Hey, Colton. Hey, Jones.
To be honest.
Isn't that rude?
Shouldn't
it be Ms. or Mr.? Mr. Curry? Wasn't it more, seems to me to be more polite to say Mr. Curry than Curry? Huh?
Whenever you talk about me behind my back, you always just say Curry.
Curry.
You never say Adam.
I never say Adam. I say Curry. Yeah. And with a hard K as a C.
You don't have to use a pronoun at all if you're not, familiar with it, if it feels unnatural.
What if someone is refusing to use someone's preferred pronouns?
And this will happen. I will be very honest. In the workplace, this will happen. We have feelings about the pronoun. We don't agree with it. So we don't know why we have to use it.
There you go.
So it's important if you don't agree.
This is you, John. Here, it's important. If you don't agree,
we have to use it. So it's important if you don't agree to still just use their first name. This isn't something that would rise to the occasion of getting written up if you refuse to use it, but this could rise to the occasion of bullying. That person may be.
I understand what she's trying to say here, but let's back up a second. Say you have the pronouns he, him. And you tell me, hey, I want to use he, him as my pronouns. And I say, okay, when am I going to ever use he, him when I'm talking to you?
No, never. It's always when you talk about someone else. This is the whole point. This is how it works. This is why you get corrected. The whole point.
So you tell me they, them.
You'll never say they, them to someone's face. It's always when the person's not present. This is the mind control.
So what difference does it make if they're not present?
That's the whole point, John. That's so your kids who have been indoctrinated will tell you you're doing it wrong. By the way, if your kid does that, slap him. Just slap him across the face.
From now on, this is slap for sure.
That's the whole point. It has nothing to do with the person himself will never, or herself or themself will never hear the insult.
Or G-self.
Will never hear the insult. This is programming of the masses. That's the point. It's
idiotic. The more you think about it, the more idiotic it is.
No,
what
it's brilliant.
What difference does it make?
It's brilliant.
Yeah, if for Marxists.
They've got you pretty riled up.
I'm more riled up by the fact that they're allowing teachers after the gay community. Let's go. Now it's the queer community, by the way. Have you ever heard that one?
Yes.
That's what they're referring to.
Yeah, we got it.
Queer.
Yeah.
The promise that, don't worry about it. We're not going to indoctrinate the kids.
No, but they start by they're indoctrinating adults, and this is how it's done, and that's why I need to put that crap in your email signature. If America can do one thing, I think it should be this: just say no to pronouns. Just say no to pronouns.
Just say
all
no
pronouns.
To half this stuff, but the pronoun, yes, the pronoun thing should be a
Let
no.
me finish this out.
Important if you don't agree to still just use their first name. This isn't something that would rise to the occasion of getting written up if you refuse to use it, but this could rise to the occasion.
Hold on. You can't finish it. She said, don't use their first name.
But did she say that here?
Don't agree to still just use their first name.
No, still use that first name.
No.
Yes.
Don't just use.
Let me hear again.
Feelings about the pronoun. We don't agree with it. So we don't know why we have to use it. So it's important if you don't agree to still just use their first name.
Yeah. If you don't agree, still just use that first name.
Still just use?
Yeah, still just use that.
Okay, that's
just
it.
Do it.
Don't just use.
Do it.
So it's important if you don't agree to still just use their first name.
Okay.
This isn't something that would rise to the occasion of getting written up if you refuse to use it, but this could rise to the occasion of bullying. That person may be repeatedly asking you, this is how I would like to be referred. Please stop, calling me he when I would like to be called she. And this person just refuses to do it and kind of has that like tone about it. So,
is that what, let me hear that again.
It's a tone about it.
This could rise to the occasion of bullying.
This is for you. This is the JCD lesson right here. Don't have that tone about you.
A person may be repeatedly asking you, this is how I would like to be referred. Please stop you know, calling me he when I would like to be called she. And this person just refuses to do it and kind of has that like tone about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, boomer.
So just manage it as you can. It, as the employee, if somebody's refusing, just reach out to your manager or HR and we'll kind of come in and help mediate the conversation.
Narc on them to HR. We'll come in and mediate.
Conversation and make it more comfortable for you, but always speak up.
And how do you address the big group?
Mediating pronouns. There's a show title.
Mediate pronouns.
A big group? You know, a lot. I say, hey, guys, is my terminology, and a lot of people do. So here's some suggestions. We can say, hey, everyone, or everybody. Hey, friends. Hey, y'all, or all y'all.
Hey, it's friends. A big large hey, group, comrades. Right?
Hey, folks.
Comrades.
This tends to be gender neutral and addresses the group at large. And if you start practicing using these terminologies, it'll be more helpful because there could be a group that you're unfamiliar with that has someone that goes by a pronoun that you're not aware of
yet. Well, you just nailed it, John. You just solved the whole problem. Unbelievable. And it just, the minute you said that, this whole thing is solved. And maybe that is the ultimate goal. Look, the pronoun thing is difficult. It's hard to remember. You can't have a list of every employee's pronouns. Just address everybody as comrade.
Comrade.
Comrade. Comrade Dvorak. Comrade Curry. Hey, what's up with that comrade? I told that comrade. This solves it. This solves the problem. Everybody's a comrade.
Yeah. And it's gender free.
And with
gender neutral.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who just put the C in the comrade solution, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also in the morning to all ships at sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and pirates out there.
In the morning to the trolls of the troll room. Hello, trolls. How you doing? Hands up. Scurry away. Let me count you. Let me see how many we got in there in the troll room. We have currently 1,994 trolls on standby. Yeah, for Thursday, we're up. This is because...
Normally 1-8.
They are listening to noagendastream.com. We're live, lit, as we sometimes say. Live at trollroom.io, noagendastream.com, and in any podcast app that supports podcasting 2.0, newpodcastapps.com. You get a notification, you get the chat room, troll room, you get your stream all in the same app. You listen to the podcast. Another innovation for free, done because we love you. Now you can also follow on noagendasocial.com, which is very easy. If you have an account, if not, you have to get an account at any Mastodon server. Follow John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com, Adam at noagendasocial.com, and then you can follow the conversation. You'll get the whole stream through the Fediverse. It's the future of social media. It's the only way forward. Twitter is full of bots. You know, people listen so poorly. I'm always amazed. Smart people, good people, really nice people. The amount of, because we finally put up an email forward on Adam at noagendasocial.com and John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com because people hear an email address or what they think is an email address, and that's what they just email. It's really interesting. I've never said that's an email address, but people always take that as an email address. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, it's been going on since the beginning.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. The one guy sent, he sent all these emails and they're all at noagendasocial.net or something.
I'm like, glad we
no
put that
email
in.
There. What are you talking about? Well, find out what the email is. And it's so hard. Adam at curry.com.
So follow us there and become a part of the new generation. Thanks to the artist for episode 1469. We titled that one The Nurge. It's kind of a no-brainer. And Capitalist Agenda, who's just been on a tear, again, chosen for the artwork.
Rocking it.
Yeah, rocking this it. Was the bottle cap. Very well done. Very nice. Looked kind of like a Heineken bottle cap, I would say. Bottled by Gitmo Nation. No Agenda M5M Pop, Curry and Dvorak, 33 ounces. Now, even though it had the episode number on there, 1469.
That's fine. It was the right episode number.
It was the right episode number. But it's very risky to do that without uploading one without a number.
Yeah, you should have done that.
You really should have done
that. Now, the other ones that we liked, there was a I liked Paul Couture. I thought I was going to give him a double, but you didn't like it.
Which one was this? Oh,
this is the sumo football guy. But I want to mention this
piece. It was a nice piece, and I don't think I just said no.
Well, you liked the bottle cap a lot. But I want to mention this piece because he did something that I've not seen anyone do, which is he's logified and put in the background the No Agenda show name as part of the background color. It's very creative. It's
very nice. Yeah, it looked very nice.
And then got his little design for the No Agenda. I like this piece a lot. He had it in two versions, two colors, just so he knows. Maybe I now get the backup.
What else? There's a lot of different pieces of art. And by the way, you can follow this during the live show by going to noagendaartgenerator.com. You could say already the artists are putting up. It's nothing like a blackboard that says, I love my old dyke teacher. All right.
That is not getting picked.
But sometimes the artists just do
137 swinging for the fences.
Sometimes the artists just do stuff to make themselves laugh and their other artists. You can also contribute to it. noagendaartgenerator.com and Capitalist Agenda. I mean, it was a beautiful piece. It really was. Yes, I'm not sure. It wasn't because I hated it. I don't remember why I thought the bottle cap over the sumo. Maybe just because I'm bored of sumo. Well,
here's another one. We got to mention in passing. Moose did a meta piece where he has one of our old artworks hanging as artwork in between Biden and the, what's his name, the prince of Saudi Arabia.
Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That was the best appropriation of art we've seen.
Stealing from ourselves.
And it's the same dude. That was very funny. But it's too small. So that's the problem with that.
It was not going to get picked. That's why it was wrong with it.
Well, I'm just saying. And a lot of cars melted into the tarmac that just didn't translate.
No, you can't see
what it is. Didn't quite make it. Well, we really appreciate this work. It's hilarious. We love it. It's one of the best.
We get a kick out of it.
And it's true value. You know, value for value is the method. It's the model that we chose. It's what we followed, which means we don't want to be restricted. I mean, this whole conversation that we just had, even if Joe Rogan did this on Spotify, they'd take that episode off of Spotify.
No, they would.
About the pronouns. They would have a freak out where we had...
They take the episode with all these TikTokers.
Yeah.
We'd have two episodes gone.
And not saying that that justifies the clear bigotry of my co-host, but it... I'm just throwing stuff out there. But even the conversation about eugenics and nugenics, would that make it? No, probably not. What is it worth to you? I don't know. Did you learn something? It was certainly, some of it was news to me. I found it very valuable. I can now tell people I've learned something and maybe they should look into it the next time they start to spew me with their facts. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, they should go listen to the Ed Black lecture. That would be a good use of your time.
It's all in the show notes. So if you get any value of the show, maybe you just laughed, whatever it is, send some value back. You can do that through time, talent, and treasure. We love the treasure because it does keep the furnace burning in our homes. And we appreciate people who come in so much with amounts that give them the right to be titled as an executive producer or associate executive producer. And for episode number 1470, only 30 more to go until we hit the big 1500. Just around our 15th anniversary, we kick it off with Tim Marks. And Tim pops in with, as far as I can see, is this an Instanite donation, $1,000?
Well, it's what it looks like.
Sure does. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah, it says it's in there.
He says, read as much or as little as you like. No worries. All right. Let's see how far we get. My friend and Baron Sir Fahrenheit rightfully called me out as a douchebag during the height of the COVID pandemic, but kindly offered up a little jobs karma because I was working for Uncle Sam and had zero plans to take the Frankenstab. I'm happy to report that, as usual, it works.
Did he use that word, that term before?
It was, in fact, Sir Fahrenheit who coined it.
Frankenstab.
Frankenstab, exactly. I work for a private sector software consulting company that is very forward-thinking, not woke, and 100% remote. I miss some things about my old job, but in all, my body, my choice. I'd do it again. I want to de-douche myself by becoming an Instanite, and thank you for the amazing information we have all become addicted to.
You've been de-douched.
I'd like to be known as Sir Timmy Changa, drinker of margaritas and lover of bodega. He does want the Jill Biden pronunciation. Bodega breakfast tacos. If I could request a little whooping with the Constitution for a jingle and some yak karma for all my fellow No Agenda fans who are still grinding it out for Bo Jiden in their .gov jobs. Be free. You won't be sorry. Then he has some other anecdotes about vaccine incidences, adverse reactions, but we were allowed to pick and choose. So I did find for him an original Manning rap.
Now get out there and whoop Obama's behind.
You've got karma.
All right, now we have Jim Schneeberger.
I do.
And he, James.
Yes, I do. I have a note. Oh, you have his note? Okay, good.
We all have a note. Everyone's got a note, but for some reason there's no note here, and Eric has it noted as no note. James Schneeberger in Cary, North Carolina. Now, I didn't send this note in to Eric.
Because it had notes with no agenda on there. He addressed it properly. Oh, no, he didn't. Everything. No, he didn't. It's notes at noagendashow.net. Nope, he did it wrong.
Oh, that's what it
is.
My
mistake, too. I should have caught it. Yep.
Well, I saw it going to, I thought it was going to go to Eric because of that, and then it didn't. So then,
well, but, Jim, but I have it. Jim is a baron by now, isn't he?
No, he doesn't hang it over everyone's head. And here, it just really not much of a note, so I didn't think much about it. I thought maybe it was an old note. I thought, you know, he writes, ITM, I thought you might be interested in the anti-racism self-assessment survey for white identifying or presenting people. In other words, if you think you're white.
Yeah.
And he's got a link. You can put it in the show notes. So you have it there. You can probably do that if you want.
Yeah.
Voluntary at this stage. However, I can envisage. It says envisage. Envisage this type of thing becoming a mandatory requirement when applying for a federal job or with woke employers. Now, I have to take this and check out what he's talking about because he doesn't explain it in the note. Perhaps the No Agenda team should get ahead of the curve and take it now. Okay, so everyone go take this thing. And we'll have a link somewhere.
Okay.
And I'll put a link in the newsletter if I remember. Okay. Worth looking at the questions to better understand the bigger picture. See also, and he's got another link, Anti-Racism Revolution Membership Community YouTube clip. Okay.
All right.
And then he's got his $333 donation. Best Zimbabwe. Yes, he's the Baron of Shotziland.
Yep, Jim
with Bob. Baroness Marianne Schneeberger,
right?
Who's the damsel of disaster.
Oh, beautiful.
So he's covered.
Yep.
He's a baron.
Beautiful.
He's good to go.
Thank you. Jonathan Kescatalo, I think. Wilmington, North Carolina, 333-33. The only things I've ever donated to are Ron Paul 2012 campaign, Wikipedia, which I realized was a waste. And now the No Agenda Show. Keep up the good work.
Wait a minute.
Thanks. I think that's good.
I worded it curiously. Okay, Ralph Decker in Amsterdam, 333-33. I have no note from him, do you?
No, no note. That means he gets a double karma.
You've got double up karma.
Onward.
We have another. We didn't get a lot of donations today, but we got a lot of long notes, and this is one of them.
Yes, Ryan Hill from Wahiawa in Hawaii, 333. Aloha in the morning. Please see attached 333 donation as I humbly request the de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Oh, switcheroo. Please credit this donation to my beautiful bride for her birthday next week. I call her Brenda Chad the Diamond Hearted. Okay, is that her pronoun? because it is now, and that is switcheroo.
And she's not on the birthday list.
No, he's going to have to send that in for next week. It wouldn't make any sense, would it?
Well, people do that.
Longtime boner, first-time donor, first saw Adam on JRE before that psycho Osterholm started the PSYOP. Toilet Preppers was our first episode. Mahalo for everything these past 2 years. From the bottom of our hearts, my family thanks you for all the value. We've been able to duck and dodge like Neo in the Matrix, and our purpose has become clear. We've started a charity nonprofit to support veterans through financial literacy, a.k.a. how not to get effed by the clown world. Very good. We have learned so much from Gitmo Nation and decided to use the value for value model to help shrink amygdalas and spread value and decentralized information. Please support by checking out our Etsy merch store, which is Diamond Heart Shape at Etsy. Diamond Heart Shape. All merch comes with artwork designs as a free NFT. Oh, brother. Okay. Well, I was up with you until the NFT part.
I was up with him until he keeps using the word merch.
You can hit him up on No Agenda Social at Dalinquentism. Dalinquentism, DALINIKWENTISM, or email ape at the diamondheartshapefoundation.com. I'd like to call out all douchebags from the community dictatorship island prison of Hawaii to donate, donate, donate. Requesting Rubbleizer, Boogity Boogity, and Goat Karma.
India Tango Mike, stand by. 33, 33, 33.
Rubbleizer out. You've got karma.
William Gherkin's up. He's in a pickle. He's in Denver, Colorado. 33-3. Thanks again, Adam and John, for the continued delivery of a fantastic show. I would like this executive producer credit, another switcheroo, go to the clip custodian.
Oh, that's very kind of him.
Please de-douche this man.
You've been de-douched.
Neil, here's $333 on your path to knighthood, brother.
Aww.
Signed, William Gherkin.
That was very nice. Now, do you have a...
No.
Let me check if I have one for this. No, I do not have one either. It's Rich Sciortino, Oakland, California.
I'll look while you're reading the next note. Maybe
he gets a double karma.
You've got... double up!
Caitlin is in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania. First associate executive producer, 250. In the morning, jingle, anything by Al Sharpton, and a de-douching for me.
You've been de-douched.
Caitlin says, sorry, husband, I get the credit this time. Thanks for the best podcast in the universe. Can we have a meow? For about 10 years of my younger life, my mother convinced my doctor that I needed mood stabilizers. This is regarding SSRIs and antidepressants. In reality, I was just struggling because I was abused by my stepdad. But thanks, Mom. I was on many different types of medication during these years, including SSRIs. To make a long story shorter, the meds didn't help as I was misdiagnosed and they tried to fix the resulting issues with more meds. Fortunately, I moved out and got therapy instead. My experience is a small part of a much bigger societal issue. It's a quick fix world, and many parents / authority figures do not want to waste time putting in work to fix real issues, so they resort to a pill to fix their problem children. Powerful chemicals are given to growing children and troubled adults, and unfortunately, this can have tragic results. I still see it now as an adult. It's trendy and normal to be on meds first and then maybe try therapy. Many people my age, millennial, are shocked when I'm able to exist without a daily mental health medicine. Some truly need it, but I believe these pills are very strong treatments that are often overused and misused. Thanks for the dose of sanity in this world, Caitlin, wife of the anonymous husband. And she wanted a... you know what? I think I'll do a little bit of this one.
We butt. We jitty.
Here you go.
We down.
For the naysayers.
We jitty. We butt.
We
Jimmy,
We down, down, we down, down, we down, down.
He's all dangerous.
He's in. You've got karma.
That's a whole mix. At least I got the jitty in there.
Right. Sir Net Ned from Shelby Township, Michigan, $250, associate executive producer for him. He starts off, hi, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey, folks. Hi, friends. Hey, comrades. Comrades.
Comrades.
Comrades.
This donation is part of my wonderful governor's idea to refund our money that was overpaid in car insurance. Mm. So I got $400 for being overcharged for 15 years plus. What a bargain. She decided upon this earlier in the year when Michigan's insane car insurance requirements no longer had to carry lifetime benefits for serious injury, which Michigan was, I believe, the only state that offered this level of catastrophic injury coverage.
Wow.
She claimed lower rates as a result of this requirement change did not really happen, so she concocted this plan. So she handed out checks, but it totally has nothing to do with her acting like a dictator during COVID and her approval rating being in the toilet. Nothing like using an industry and consumers' money to attempt to buy votes. This is one half of the bribe with $50 kicked in for my 50th birthday on Saturday. You're on the list. Big 5-0. I don't think I have heard any kind of birthday jingles, but I know I always like the good Reverend whip 'em with the Constitution. Coincidence?
I think not. I think
not.
That doesn't happen.
For it's
often.
Anything for its amazing beat. That plus added to the birthday list and some goat karma would be awesome. Really? Please keep the good work and keep hitting them in the mouth. Thank you, Sir Net Ned.
Yes, traditionally for a birthday, we'd use this one.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
Just saying for future if you want. And, of course, we have the good Reverend.
Get out there! Whoopin'
You've got karma.
Brittany Baxter is Dame Amazeballs. Who does not know her? She's in Indianapolis, Indiana. Sends us 237.88. We wonder why. Dame Amazeballs here. Ah, for my 37th birthday on July 23rd. This is a meetup promo for Central Indiana Slaves special event Sunday, July 24th. RSVP for the Midtown location. Switcheroo on this donation. Oh, man, a switcheroo. Where are we? Switcheroo on this donation to secure my smoking hot boyfriend Joss Springer's knighthood. Henceforth, he shall be known as Knight of the Bottoms Up Beer Dispenser. And please add extra hookers and blow to the round table for my man. Love is lit. So does he also get the... She says, switcheroo on this donation. No, I think she gets the credit. He gets the knighthood. That makes sense. All right. Groovy. Thank you very much. And slaves in Central Indiana, step up to the plate.
I think he gets the whole thing, but you just like the idea of putting amazeballs.
Yeah, that's my whole motivation, John.
I think so. The DiLoretto sisters in Boring, Oregon, 22266. I wish you put this name of the city.
Hey, oh, wow. Yeah. We know your rim shot. Good.
Without a rim. Mm-hmm. Jingles, birthday for my biscuit, or otherwise. Biscuit for my birthday. Sleepy Joe, Noodle Gun, DiLoretto Sisters, Springfield, Oregon, right in. Happy 66th birthday, Mom. How perked to have your birthday today fall on a show day. After exactly 1 year of first donating for our mother, Joyce, she will now become a dame today with this donation of 22266.
Hmm.
She would like to be called Dame Jazzy of the Humboldt Redwoods. Thanks for all you two do. Love is lit and all that shit.
The DiLoretto sisters.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
Sheepy Joe, Sheepy Joe, Sheepy Joe.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Pew, pew.
Mike Robinson, full row of ducks, 222.22, Salem, Oregon. This donation gives me the rather effeminate sounding title of Baronet. Please change my name from Sir Furry Fury to Baronet Michael Robinson. Oh, dropping the pronouns, going with the real deal. Thought you'd like this little gem. It's a slide from a recent webcast with the Joint Commission, the National Accreditor of Hospitals. Their job is to make sure that, among other things, that we practice evidence-based medicine. In this slide in the presentation, they made it 100% clear that the evidence-based guidelines are the fourth most important criteria hospitals should follow when it comes to infection prevention. That's right, fourth. First and foremost, we are here to adhere to government regulation. Second, to Medicare rules. Third, to manufacturer instructions for devices. And fourth, to actual science. Oy, capture is complete. Joint Commission compliance is goal numero uno for all hospital administrators. So what Joint Commission... So what Joint Commission says becomes what the Joint Commission says becomes de facto law within hospitals. This puts all that has happened in the last couple months into perspective. Hospitals are told to obey first and fourth to check the actual science. Thank you for your courage. Yes, Mike. Thank you. That was the shortest way of saying it I've ever heard it presented, but there it is. Science is fourth on the list.
Sounds good. Come forth with science. Kyle Ramey in Canyon, Texas, 21722. I'm getting married today.
Yay!
And as stated in my last donation, I cannot bear the shame of my bride to be marrying an unknighted man. So this donation puts me well over the threshold of knighthood. So please knight me Sir Rain Man. For the round table, I'd like to request... Rain Man is the guy who throws all the dollars in the air. For the round table, I'd like to request cold beer and fresh bug-free meat.
You're good here, bro. No bugs in the beef.
Just a wedding, honeymoon, baby-making karma, goat or yak, whichever is more fitting. Also, please allocate $1 of this donation to my bride-to-be, and de-doucher.
You've been de-douched.
So I don't marry a douchebag.
Oh, right on the cusp. Good work. Good work, Kyle. And for babies and wedding honeymoon karma, we prescribe yak, actually.
You've got karma.
You'll thank me later. John Carver is in Sunset Beach, North Carolina, $200 associate executive producership title for him. I'll be at the Champs trade show next week, booth 2224. Stop by with an ITM and I'll hook you up. Little jobs karma would be appreciated.
Champs, is that a strip club?
So, I don't know what Champs is. It might be. Well, good luck.
Well, sounds like.
Send a report.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Where is this trade show? He doesn't say.
He doesn't say anything about the
Champs. Got to be in Vegas.
Someone's got to tell us what's going on with the Champs trade show.
We need some more details here, John.
Really?
Josh Scanlon comes in next from Milton, Georgia, $200. And he says, thanks for all you do to keep me sane, gents. My only request, as if any of the artists could design a T-shirt about the moon landing hoax to sell on No Agenda Shop. That would be epic. Blessings. I have some clips, by the way, coming up, which is interesting.
Oh, good.
About Artemis. That'd be epic. Blessings. Josh Scandlin in Milton, Georgia.
I got a beautiful T-shirt from Sir Mark. He always, whenever he comes by, he always brings a cool gift. Like a Russian military map of Austin.
Is it GIF or JIF?
It's a gift. He gives me a gift. And one time he gave me a T-shirt, which was a Panavision T-shirt on the front. You know, the famous camera, Panavision. On the back, it said...
The lens, yeah.
Yeah, Apollo moon landing production crew.
That's a good one.
It's a beautiful... I'll take a picture of it. It's a beautiful T-shirt. Yeah, of course we need something like that on noagendashop.com. Thank you very much, Josh. And then finally, Gwendolyn Wagner
is in Vancouver, Washington, $200. No note from Gwendolyn. You didn't find one either. I would have remembered a Gwendolyn if it came in. I didn't see it.
Yeah, anything. With a name like Gwendolyn. One of the world's great names.
Gwendolyn gets a double karma for that.
You've got double up. Karma.
All right, that's it.
It does it.
Thank you very much.
Thank these folks.
No, please, go ahead and thank them.
They're the ones who, the producers and executive producers, really make this show fly.
They do. And for that, for doing that, we give them a real credit, an official production credit. Looks good anywhere you put it. Executive producer, No Agenda Show 1470, or associate executive producer, No Agenda Show episode 1470. Go ahead, look around. Just put that into a search engine, executive producer, No Agenda Show. You'll be amazed. Look at, do a search on Twitter. See how many people have that in their Twitter profile. You're not alone. If you think, what am I doing? This is nuts. No, it gets work. It gets chicks. It gets dudes. Whatever you're looking
gets
for.
Chicks gets and dudes.
And dudes. We don't discriminate chicks and dudes. If you want to learn how to get some chicks and dudes, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you very much for your time, talent, and treasure for episode 1470 of the best podcast in the universe.
Our formula is this.
Universe.
We go out. We hit people in the mouth.
Shut up, Slade. I just wanted to mention one news item, which goes back to the previous lengthy segment about how nuts we've become in the world with the diversity, equity, inclusion. I happen to know a number of McDonald's owner-operator franchisees. And I know I know through Tina's work at the Ronald McDonald House charities, because the local owner, and very little for the Ronald McDonald House comes from corporate, I think 1% or something. It's very, very low. And of course, they're the branding partner. So a lot of this money comes from the local owner operators who pay a franchise fee, and they raise a lot of money locally. They do their local things, all for the local Ronald McDonald House. Beautiful. Very nice people. Some of them own five restaurants in the Austin area, and they're just hardworking people, and they really love the company. However, the way it works is whenever you're ready to give up your franchise or when it's time to bring in a new one, you know, there's a process. And what you'd expect, certainly for successful franchisees who have, you know, been doing this for several decades, I think they've had them, and they want to pass that on to their children. McDonald's said, you know, we're going to change that right now, and we're going to have everybody be on equal footing for renewal and for new franchisee licensing.
And what does that mean?
Which means, and they literally had a whole press release to ensure that the ownership of our franchise locations are diverse and inclusive.
Oh, please.
No longer can you pass on your franchise to your kids. It has to go through an entire separate
system.
You have to start at the beginning. And this has made franchisees lose their crap. They're calling for the CEO to get kicked out.
I think you should get kicked out. I think that's unfair. I mean, you can't do something like this. First, you make the promise at the beginning and you change the rules at the end. This is like a really crummy EULA.
Yes, that would be the point.
Okay, I'll do my McDonald's. I got a McDonald's thing to discuss.
Okay.
So about once every 6 months, I check out McDonald's.
By eating.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of things. First of all, the McDonald's French fries have gone into the toilet.
That's because they're using canola oil.
They don't make them anything like they used to. They're soggy and lousy tasting. And I will give a tip here, because I do this elsewhere. Burger King is making the best French fries of all the franchises right now. It's unbelievable how good their French fries are.
Okay. Well, I'm very...
They could use a little more salt. So, but the big test here is my once every 6 months, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I've now ended this program.
If you want to live, over. Probably should, yeah.
I don't eat that much because I can't finish it. I bought a Big Mac.
Oh, I haven't eaten one of those in a long time.
Oh, my God. Well, I eat them once every 6 months, and it has just been getting worse and worse and worse. And this last one was so bad, dry. The top bun's got nothing on it. There's no sauce. The bottom's very little of the mayonnaise of Thousand Island, whatever it is. The burger patties are really small and they're dry and it's got too much wood chips in it. It was so bad. I could not even eat a full half of the burger. And I had to cut it up and give it to the Rosie the dog.
And did the dog walk away from it and go?
Dogs never walk away from anything that they can eat. So that dog's not a good test of this. I mean, if they did, that would be something.
Your dog's no
good.
But
no, it is just disgusting. It's not even close to being edible.
It's not food. Why anyone would? It's not food, John.
It's not good.
No. But it's also, it's just not food anymore. It's just not food. Well, I you know what? I forbid you from eating that. We need to keep you around.
It's part of the show.
Not if you die.
And by the way, you don't have to forbid me from eating it. I can't eat it.
That's horrible. I know. I sometimes I'll get the... I do have a McDonald's moments, and it's always the same. First, I go through, do you have any milkshakes? If they say no, I said, fuck you, and I drive off.
And that's the milkshake. Oh, by the way, I do have an ice cream cone once in a while.
Yeah.
But these ice cream machines, they just go, they don't, okay, this whole thing is some sort of an ice cream machine scam. They're not working half the time.
No, that's a whole, there's a lawsuit about the people who maintain the machines. That was a scam from, McDonald's was screwed by that. But what I'm amazed by is if you watch television at night, you only get pharma and fast food. You get, the pizza that has the pepperoni and cheese now in the crust. Now they've come up at Sonic. They have double burger, grilled cheese. So it's bread, cheese, burger, cheese, bread, cheese, burger, cheese, bread. Yeah. And now
I'm lucky
at one of the new drinks at, I want to say Dairy Queen is cake batter. Milkshake of cake batter. You're drinking cake batter.
I have a huge advantage being in this area where I am. There's no Sonics and there's no Dairy Queens.
Yeah, we don't have that either. But out as at the city limits, you have to drive 10 minutes to the city limit if you want a Dairy Queen or a McDonald's.
I've never seen one in the area, either one.
So where do you go to when you do your monthly thing, when you go to
I went bad, to McDonald's, boy, I go to Burger King, I went to Taco Bell's the other one. Ugh. I tried the cheesy, they have this new $2 thing, so okay, let me check this out. It's $2, you know. I always weigh the food to see what I get for my money. Mostly I go to taco trucks, to be honest about, for fast food.
Well, that's going to be better.
It's always better. Taco trucks are terrific.
Yeah.
But anyway, and by the way, well, I don't want to get into tacos again, but so I tried this cheesy double burrito, meat burrito, whatever it is. It's $2, big deal. And they're advertising on TV. You know, it's actually edible. You can choke it down, but you'll be burping this funny flavor for like, oh, I don't know, 8 hours. This is burp. There it is again. Burp. It's just not worth it. $2. I don't care. It's $2 too much.
All right. Thanks for that disgusting update. Let me just do something here real quick. This is the Ministry of Truthiness segment. And the reason I bring it up is there's been a story that we haven't had a chance to talk about, which is the NPR disinformation team. I'm sorry, disinformation reporting team.
Oh, wait, is this the same NPR that says they wouldn't even discuss or talk about the Biden laptop because it was obviously bull crap by the Russians?
Yeah, but that's not misinformation.
That same group? You're talking about that's NPR? Is that the group you're talking about?
NPR launches this team to cover the disinformation crisis. The viral spread of mis and disinformation has emerged as one of the great civic challenges of our time.
Does that include the Biden laptop?
From the lies about the 2020 election to the growing influence of anti-vaccine activists to the enduring influence of climate change denialism, lies and conspiracy theories have seeped into nearly all aspects of modern day life, both in the U.S. and around the globe. Not long after the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, we all set up a small
We set up a small reporting team to focus on disinformation and collaborate across the newsroom on the subject. Over the past year and a half, that ad hoc team has had many successes reporting on election disinformation, the role of the tech platforms and multi-path breaking stories about COVID disinformation. Now, we're pleased to announce that we're making the work of this team permanent. Permanent. Launching with three reporters and an editor to cover this vital topic. The mandate is to seek out original, high-impact stories and to work closely with the many beat reporters in the newsroom and at member stations whose work involves disinformation. Sincerely, the team. Which is funny because it sounds like the management.
The management.
So there was no like clip or anything. There was no discussion. They didn't have an audio. But... I just saw this article from NPR Health News, which had a 7-minute programming item attached to it. And at first I was like, is this going to be any good? But then I saw that one of the authors of this piece, one of the contributors, was Brett Neely. And Brett is one of the Disinfo team members. So this story, I'm only going to play about a minute and a half of the 7 minutes. This story is an example of what this fine disinformation team at NPR does. Okay, is that enough setup? Do we understand what we're about to listen to? So
I don't know how you can set it up any better.
COVID hospitalizations are once again on the rise thanks to a new subvariant. But not everyone wants to go to the ER if they get seriously ill. And for Americans who don't trust the medical establishment, there is a network of doctors and natural healers ready to push unproven cures for COVID. NPR's Jeff Brumfield has more on the black market for bogus COVID treatments.
Stephanie died of COVID, but she didn't have to. She was 75, lived on Long Island. A few years ago, she was sucked into a world of conspiracy theories. When COVID came, it got worse. Stephanie's daughter, Lori, remembers what her mother used to tell her about the vaccines.
Everybody who got vaccinated is going to die.
We're only using first names to protect the family from online harassment. Because she feared the vaccine, Stephanie refused.
That's the daughter talking about. So her mom is dead. She's dead. She's dead because of whatever.
Oh, the mom's dead.
The mom's dead because, you know, she didn't listen to NPR.
Oh, I thought Stephanie was dead.
No, Stephanie is going to. No, Stephanie is dead. Stephanie was the mom. This is the daughter, I think.
Oh, and she's, okay. I just got confused.
No, I know. It's easy to do with the disinfo team.
To tell her about the vaccines.
Everybody who got vaccinated is going to die.
We're only using first names to protect the family from online harassment. Because she feared the vaccines, Stephanie refused to get one.
That guy with this plug nose is using more than first names, I'll tell you right now.
Because she feared the vaccines, Stephanie refused to get one. Then just before last Thanksgiving, she caught COVID.
She was really not feeling well. And I was like, you know, just go to the doctor.
But Stephanie didn't go. She was plugged into an alternative medical network.
Ooh.
It's a small group of fringe doctors, natural healers, and internet personalities who reject COVID vaccines, even though the CDC currently estimates that unvaccinated individuals are 6 times more likely to die of COVID.
There's just tons of papers in journals showing that the vaccines are safe and effective. Are not. They are not safe or effective.
That's one of these vaccine deniers speaking on a conservative podcast. He's a doctor named Pierre Corey. In his alternate medical universe, there is another drug that cures COVID. It's called ivermectin.
People who've used ivermectin, their license has been threatened. I have 8 complaints to my medical board. I don't know what's going to happen to my license.
There's a good reason his medical license might be under investigation. Everyone from the American Medical Association to the Food and Drug Administration tell doctors not to prescribe ivermectin for COVID.
Science forth, everybody. So there you go. That's what the disinformation team has been hired to do. To rerun 2020 with the same stuff, you know, damn all the studies, and also marginalize any other type of medical choice that you want to make. My body, my choice. Guess not, NPR disinfo team. It's just a small group of these doctors. Now, I would say the what is the term for it? They have a term for alternative doctors. Not alternative. Goodness, I can say this a million times. Yeah. Anyway, it's huge. It's huge. People are going away from Western medicine in droves. They're learning about...
It's because they're getting lied to. That's the problem.
Yeah, somebody called holistic. No, holistic is not the term. By the way, I despise the term holistic medicine. Nah, it's some... homeopathic. No, there's if Tina were here, she would tell me right away. No, it's with a P, I think. I don't know, P doctors. I don't know. But it's not, it's not,
a urologist.
No. I have a mental block and the troll room is not helping. But anyway, in Fredericksburg alone, there must be five doctors you can go to who completely, look at different ways of dealing with whatever has been prescribed. And now
you can blame them for Stephanie's death.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that, that's what they're doing. They should be going after the Hunter Biden laptop. You're absolutely right.
Oh, no, that's Russian disinformation.
Yeah. What was fun to watch Katie Turr doing?
You have a clip?
Yeah, of course I do.
Of course, you always say that. Now, I have to preface this. This is so funny because Katie Turr, who is just a miserable lackey.
Functional medicine. There you go.
She is a lackey for the Democrat Party.
Yes.
But she's so naive to it. She doesn't really understand it. Some of these people at least get it, Yeah, okay. I vote Democrat. I like Democrats. I'm pushing Democrats. And she's just a lackey. And she is, this is not the first time, but she is always stunned by the fact that people are trusting the media.
And she asked herself a very important question. This is some soul searching from Katie Turr.
There was just a Gallup poll out today that shows that the trust in media and newspapers and television is hitting an all-time low. People don't trust us, they don't believe us, and it makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it, is effective, but if it's doing more harm than good. I don't have a good answer for that.
Well, yeah. More harm than good. I love, she should just quit. Wouldn't it be great if she went, I realize that I'm just part of a horrible system.
I'm going back to the Democrats and their idea that, everything's going well and they're going to do well in December or November because, everything's lies.
Jan 6.
I'm surprised she just doesn't go in denial on this one.
Have you heard?
This doesn't make any sense.
Have you heard the term election denier?
No.
Yeah, that's a big word. Oh, he's an election denier. And, instead of January 6th insurrectionist, it's just election denier.
Yeah.
Functional medicine. That's the term I was looking for. Functional medicine. There's something going on in California that, you're always seeing the trains coming in from, going out to China, coming into China.
Coming in from China.
Trains everywhere. But, and you've always been, we have no shortages here. Our supermarkets are full. Yeah, well, it seems like everyone is worried that that's going to change.
On Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court made news again, this time by refusing to hear a challenge by California truckers to the new law that requires truck drivers to be employees of the trucking companies they do business with.
This ruling really took everybody off guard, especially the way they at the speed that they kicked this back, essentially made it law.
The problem is nearly all of the state's goods are transported by truck, many of which are owned and operated by individual drivers. That's especially the case at the Port of Oakland.
There's 9,000 trucks that serve the port on a daily basis, and 90% of them are independent contractors. So this is a big, big impact.
Bill Abudi owns AB Trucking in Oakland. He employs his own drivers, but also uses independent contractors to handle overflow business, which just became illegal. Abudi says he won't be able to use trucks owned by the drivers anymore.
It just doesn't work. You own your own truck. It's your truck. I can't take possession of it and start using it. In a case like my company, we just eliminate owner operators and just reduce the workload.
So this is AB5. Is this not?
Yeah, this is. Thank you, Gavin Newsom, our next president.
Isn't this the one that was originally put in place to help Uber drivers? And then it subsequently screwed up all the unprofitable money sinkhole publications.
And I don't know that.
Well, yeah, because the journalists could no longer write freelance. They have to either be working for
remember.
The company.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know if it's the same law.
It's
but
AB5.
Yes,
it's AB5.
Okay, well, it's trickled down to the truckers now, so we'll see what happens. This is a problem. We will get shortages of the trucks. But it won't last long because if this 90% of the people serving the Oakland port, which is where all the action is, it's busy.
Yeah.
And they just say, okay, we're just going to take a week off. We're going to spend drive and park the trucks on the freeway. That'll put a stop to it pretty quick. They'll take some emergency actions. The governor will have to take and do something.
Right.
This is one of the idiotic. I have another one. There's an idiotic law. We have some. It's just these lawmakers, and they're all Democrats to say, not that I hate Democrats, but play this clip from this guy bitching and moaning about AB 2223. And I listened to this and I did some research to see what he's talking about.
Oh, this one. Yes, I know about this.
Yeah, play it.
What I'm about to tell you is one of the most disturbing things you will ever hear in your lifetime. This is my son at about 28 days old. And right now in California, legislation is being passed that would make it legal
to club him,
to murder him.
Yeah, I nailed it. Wait, but I thought the umbilical cord has to be attached.
He doesn't discuss that, and I didn't run into that, but it seems so.
To murder him. This bill, AB 2223, would make it absolutely legal to kill babies, not just in the womb, but now outside of the womb, up to 28 days old. It would also prevent law enforcement from conducting any type of criminal investigation into the matters of the death of an infant. Many of us have been talking about not just being pro-life, but being anti-abortion for a long time now. And people say, oh, there aren't people who love abortion. They just want the freedom to choose. Who on earth would choose to murder a 28-day-old child like mine that I showed you in that video? This is the work of demons, and we must bow our knee and pray and overturn this legislation.
This is phenomenal. Okay. Go ahead. I have thoughts. Go.
So I looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was one of these, you know, these states, because of the Roe v. Wade decision, all these states, even the ones with the most liberal versions of abortion law, which California is among about six or seven that just pretty much, you know, you raise your hand, you get a free abortion. They decided that they better strengthen these laws and codify some of this stuff because it was a pretty loose structure the way it was in the before that. And in the process of writing this law, you could just almost see it happening tick by tick. They kept amending and, well, now we should do this. And as they amended and changed the wording and amended, what this guy said is true. They amended and screwed with this bill so much that they opened up this huge loophole where you could literally club they'd like to do that too, but a 24-day-old baby. You just club him, and the law enforcement can't do anything about it, and it's in the law. What he says is true.
This fits entirely with this program. Call back to the Edwin Black, the NuGenics. This is NuGenics, and here's how it works. You know, they all decided back in the 20s, gas chambers were not ready for it. Not ready. Wait a few decades. Then they did the funny farm or the feeble-minded.
Yeah,
it kind of worked.
That was a good one.
I remember the feeble-minded.
I vaguely remember when I was a kid being told
about this.
About
the feeble-minded. Well, it was a thing, like the feeble-minded. That comes from the feeble-minded history. These sterilizations, actually, that worked out pretty well because they just told men you should get a vasectomy. And they're like, okay, I'll do that.
This is true. This is what happened.
And it's logical because if you want to cull the race to make it the master race, which is what I believe these people really want to do, and to have less people. And so, you know, if we're going to have less people to save the world and live comfortably ourselves as billionaires, then, you know, we need to, and hangers on, you know, then we need to have self-selection. Hey, you should get a vasectomy. Okay, good. You're exactly the kind of person we don't want in the future. Now, this is even better because
actually, anyone stupid enough, yes. And this happened, I know a couple of guys in the 70s when that book came out, the population bomb, vasectomies were extremely popular in the 70s.
They're free now.
Not for birth control, but for not for birth control with your girlfriend or anything. But for population control.
Yeah. Do your part.
It's like, what?
Do your
part. Are you talking? What are you thinking?
Yeah. Do your part. But now, this is no mistake. This is not amendment. This is what they've always wanted. Your kid is born. Let's evaluate for 24 days. Oh, a little too white. Oh, brown hair and white. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, the head looks a little off. Oh, man, might be dumb. Club him. This is what they want. And, you know, since we can't determine if the child's going to be perfect.
They need to have clubbing centers.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yes, well, you can go in and then you can
take the baby.
It'll take the baby, determine
to the clubbing center.
Yes.
And then they club him for you, and you don't have to worry about the agony of doing it yourself.
Club him. Exactly. Club them. Yes. You know, I don't think it's a mistake. I think they want that if this kid, it doesn't look gay, doesn't look queer. Now, wait
a minute. You just introduced a new element to this, to my analysis. You don't think this is a mistake.
No, this is not a mistake.
It's a possibility that it's not. They actually meant for this. They're not going to reverse this. It's California. Hello.
Gives a whole new meaning to let's go clubbing, everybody. I mean, seriously, this could catch fire. This could be a national thing. The new Genesis have finally found something that works for them. It's part of the Great Reset, John.
Yeah.
Reset your. Oh, goodness. I have to play this for you. Queen Ursula.
Your friend.
You know what? I wouldn't mind having a drink with Queen Ursula. I think we would get along just famously.
Yeah, both blondes.
Yes. And by the way, Queen Ursula has 8 children, all beautiful blondes. She's doing
her part.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing her part of repopulating the great white race.
You know, if Tina's out of town, she's with a friend in Utah for a couple of days, and so this means Adam and Phoebe can sit on the couch. Well, Phoebe's not on the couch, and we watch Man in the High Castle. So now I'm almost done with season 2, and there's so much of this that, in a very creepy, almost historical context way, just all of this is in there about. Which the Germans had. If your kid had some kind of degenerative disease for which there was no cure.
Yeah, a big boil or something.
Then they kill him. Then they kill him. No, they kill him off to the camp. Yeah. Kill him and get rid of him. So Queen Ursula knows that everything is changing. But she's very, very excited. Because this... It's a very short clip. This new world that we're about to go in has the technology... I mean, we're going to have batteries that last for 18 days. She doesn't say that in this clip, but that, you know, they truly believe that this is the way to go. Technology, it's just going to solve everything. And here she is, just so excited.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, we saw an explosion in digital innovation and the use of tech. They enabled factories.
And the use of tech.
And the use of tech. They enabled factories to stay open.
Tech and the use of tech. An explosion and the use of tech, you Nazi.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, we saw an explosion in digital innovation and the use of tech. They enabled factories to stay open. They enabled companies to sell their products, people to access essential public services, you name it. We have to keep pace with this change, and that means... that we will certainly have to write a new rule book for the digital economy and the digital society.
Oh, a new rule book for the digital economy and digital society. A new rule book is coming, everybody.
So covering.
Why?
Well, she's going to tell you because of the why she just told you, because of all the great tech. So we, because when you have new tech, you need new rules for society.
So covering everything from data to infrastructure, but also talking about security and democracy, technology to fair taxation, all these are topics on the table with digital change. So ladies and gentlemen, the need for global cooperation and this acceleration of change will both be drivers of the Great Reset. And I see this as an unprecedented opportunity.
Tell me it's not real. When the president of the European Union says these will be the drivers of the Great Reset, tell me it's not real.
Okay, it's not real. It's real in the sense that a bunch of people imagine something's going to happen, or it's going to be real, or they're living in a dream world.
Yes. You want to hear some dreaming going on?
They're deluded. They're insane. These people are nuts. They're insane.
Yes. And they're clubbing.
They're running things. This is not good.
No. That's the beauty of the times we're living in. Here's now part of the Great Reset. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Oh man, General Motors is all in with Klaus. This is the Chief Financial Officer, Paul Jacobson.
I think the most exciting thing about the EV transformation is it's fundamentally going to change the way we make money at General Motors. Because if you think about it, the overwhelming majority of our profits come from the time that we sell a vehicle to a dealer, right? And that vehicle enjoys a lot of revenue for very different companies over the life of it on the road. What the electric vehicle and what connected vehicles are going to do for us is increase the revenue opportunities for us over the life of that vehicle, second owner, third owner, fourth owner, because we're going to be able to offer ways through over-the-air updates to customize it, subscriptions, various services, insurance packages, lots of different ways that we can interact with the customer in ways that historically we haven't been able to.
How much of your top line, of your total revenues, is going to come from selling vehicles as opposed to the services that you've just been describing?
So what we talked about is $20 to $25 billion a year of revenue in 2030 around these services that we can provide going forward. So it's a massive growth off of what we've currently experienced with OnStar historically, and really excited about what that's going to bring.
Yeah, this is, and he literally said, oh, what's so exciting about the electric vehicles is Tesla put in all this shit and made it by subscription, and people went, okay.
It's time to start looking at building hot rods.
Ooh, yeah. I'm just
have a custom car made. The custom car will be cheaper.
Yeah.
It'll be cheaper and cooler
And you'll own it.
And you'll own it. I mean, the last car I bought, which is a 16-year-old car, I paid cash for it.
Of course.
It's a great car.
It's what you do.
And it's like, you know, I'm not going for this crap. And anyone who buys into, oh, it's so nice to be, it's just the drain. You know what, the real economic reset where you don't have the money for this stuff, these cars will be all over the place, used. You know, but there's this junk they're selling. This junk.
Oh, wait until the first battery cars, you know, they're all going to get junk. They're all going to get tossed out after max 10 years. You won't see these cars going forever.
They can't.
The crap. And in what world is it good to go from raping the earth of petroleum products to raping the earth of mineral products, which we don't even have in America? It's all China, India, Africa. Children digging for cobalt.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's actually disgusting.
Yeah, kids who escape the clubbing center can always go to mine cobalt in Africa.
And club them later after they get their work done. All right, now I got some uplifting stuff.
No, I'm sure you do.
Let's talk about the moon trip.
The moon trip. All right. Artemis. Yes. The moon trip.
Okay. Now, I'm disturbed by these clips. I've got three of them. The third one's an option. I probably won't play it because the second one is disturbing. But let's play the foreground of Artemis. You know, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to take some tests. We're going to send some dummies up there. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Let's play the rundown. Artemis moon trip one.
NASA made a big announcement today. It set a launch date for its big new rocket, eventually meant to fly humans to the moon. Yeah. This first test mission, Artemis 1, won't have anyone on board, but as Brendan Byrne of member station WMFE reports, it is an important and long-delayed launch.
NASA says its 300-foot-tall SLS rocket and Orion spacecraft will blast off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The agency is targeting three possible launch opportunities starting on August 29th, sending the Deep Space Vehicle and three mannequins on a more than a month-long mission around the moon and back. NASA's Jim Free.
This is the first time that we're going to try and launch this vehicle. We're going to be careful. We're going to work hard to meet the attempts on those dates and do our best to position ourselves to have the confidence in those dates.
This launch is the beginning of a series of increasingly complex missions aimed at landing humans on the moon, the first since the Apollo program more than a half century ago. This mission, dubbed Artemis 1, will serve as a pathfinder, testing critical systems of the vehicle like life support and its heat shield. Artemis 2 will follow a similar trajectory, but with astronauts on board, and Artemis 3 will carry people bound for the lunar surface. The agency says those next moonwalkers will include a woman and person of color.
Yeah, little diversity.
Eugenics, nugenics. Send them to the moon.
So yeah. As this goes on, this report, this clip, I got my attention.
Now, can I just set the? Yes, it has my attention as well, because the last time we sent someone to the moon, I was about 8 years old, I think, and it just always bugged me that it seems to be so hard to get back. I've never really understood it, why humans aren't bouncing around on the moon.
Here we go, part two.
With all large...
Oops, sorry. It says two kicker. Do we want the two kicker?
Is there another two besides that?
Well, no, there's a three.
No, two.
With all large programs that NASA runs, it has been long delayed and it has been way over budget and continues to be as we look forward to the first human lunar landing, which is currently scheduled for 2025, but is likely to slip.
I'm sorry, the first human lunar landing? The first?
Hence the word kicker. That's a NASA spokeswoman.
All of these younger NASA people know that we never landed there.
I don't know why she said that.
Because all the NASA people
say this. She should have said first since. She should have said first since the Apollo missions 50 years ago. She didn't say that. She said first.
Yes, I know.
I'm very upset by this.
I'm happy. I'm doing a happy dance.
Well, I knew you'd be happy because I got the clip and there it is. And there she's saying it.
Yes.
But this is not the first time we've caught this.
No. I have several other examples, but...
The end of the third clip is just the optional. That's where the O is there. They don't say anything. It's yak, yak, yak. It's just talk, talk, talk. But I was very upset by this woman making this gaffe. And then what's even more upsetting is that she's being interviewed by an NPR person. Why doesn't the NPR person correct her?
Somehow,
I mean, there's supposed to be this big push now for a, you know, fake news.
I'm of the opinion that when you have Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Richard Branson, all he hims, when you have them desperately trying to even get into the atmosphere, get out of the atmosphere to get into actual space, which is highlighted like, oh my God, it's so great. They went so high and it was so that people don't even know we landed on the moon. There's something going on. It's like a whitewashing, and there's clip after clip after clip of NASA people going, well, you know, we've never really gotten past the Van Allen belt, so that's very difficult. And well, you know, we used to have the technology, but then we don't have it and we don't have enough money for it. Remember that guy? Another NASA guy.
Well, they're going to have to get their act together, it seems to me.
If anyone lands on the Earth in my lifetime, I will be surprised. They can't even fake it at this point. It
lands on the Earth is what you said.
I mean, so lands on the moon. Lands on the moon.
People make mistakes.
Yeah, but I'm not at NASA.
You just did it. No, it's true. You're right. You're not with NASA.
Not even close.
That's a good comeback, by the way. It was a good comeback.
Here, this is a NASA guy.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond.
This is not just a NASA guy. This is astronaut Don Petit. NASA astronaut Don Petit.
I'd go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again.
Uh-huh.
Going to Mars should be one of the next series of steps that humans do. The first step should be going back to the moon for a number of technical reasons and exploration reasons, and then after that, Mars, maybe a high orbit in Venus atmosphere, maybe going to Europa. There's all kinds of targets to go to, places of interest in our solar system. The only limit to human future is in our own imaginations.
Sure. Then we had the Orion launch.
We are headed 3,600 miles above Earth, 15 times higher from the planet than the International Space Station. As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation.
Except if you're in a tin can in 1960s going to the moon to walk around. Not dangerous then.
Radiation like this could harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics on Orion. Naturally, we have to pass through this danger zone twice, once up and once back.
And listen to that music.
But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation.
Put to the test.
Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space. For this flight, it's time to head home.
NASA video. We've never been.
They're poorly managed, let's face it. That operation, they're all hung up on climate change because that's where the money is.
Yeah. Let's play the optional third clip since it's there.
An internal NASA audit last year found the agency will spend up to $25 billion through 2025 on the program, with each mission costing $4 billion per launch. And there's still much more work to do. NASA hopes to build a space station around the moon. The agency is working with private company SpaceX to build the first lunar lander. Parts for that moon station still haven't left Earth as SpaceX continues critical flight testing of the lander. Still, says Forsyk, the announcement of the launch date for this first uncrewed Artemis mission is a big step.
It finally feels real because not only do we have a rocket and a mission, we have a launch date, or at least a launch range.
The announcement came on the same day as another important NASA lunar milestone. It was 53 years ago that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first people to walk on the moon.
Yeah.
This contradicts what was said earlier in the report. The thing I liked about the second clip or the third clip is the space station around the moon. What are they talking about? What are they talking about?
I don't know.
It's a pain in the ass. It costs $4 billion just to get one of these things launched in the first place. You're going to put a space station around the moon, which means every time you're going to resupply it, it's going to cost $4 billion if you can even do it. This bulk. What are they talking about? Is it going to do a figure eight, maybe go around the moon and then around Earth so you can resupply when it comes around? It's going to be doing I have to look into it.
I'll
look into it.
Yeah, please look into it. And also let me know how we get through the firmament. Nothing happens until you blow through that. You got to get through the dome. You got to get through
dome.
The dome. You got to get through the firmament.
I have a clip. I want to do this follow-up clip because we played about Biden going to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and talks about this Khashoggi bull crap.
Yeah.
This is the clip I picked up, and it was from Democracy Now.
Amy alert.
Warning. Amy Goodman clip inbound.
Okay.
So, but I thought it provided a very interesting piece of information that the mainstream is not discussing.
The publisher of The Washington Post, Fred Ryan, criticized Biden, saying, quote, "The fist bump between President Biden and Mohammed bin Salman was worse than a handshake. It was shameful. It projected a level of intimacy and comfort that delivers to MBS the unwarranted redemption he's been desperately seeking," unquote. During a news conference after their meeting, Biden said he'd confronted Ben Salman over Khashoggi's murder.
With respect to the murder of Khashoggi, I raised it at the top of the meeting, making it clear what I thought of it at the time and what I think of it now. And it was exactly, I was straightforward and direct in discussing it. I made my view crystal clear.
A top Saudi official later appeared to contradict Biden, saying he never heard the president telling the crown prince he was responsible for Khashoggi's murder.
So there's a guy on the scene. He's calling Biden a liar.
Yep. Who is that guy?
They don't say who it is, but I believe he's probably right. I don't believe Biden did that either. He's not that kind of confrontational guy anymore. He's too old.
Old is not the problem, John. Don't be ageist. He's
you're right, because Bernie Sanders is older than he is.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's 80. Biden he's sharper.
Is sick. We have a sick president.
Yeah, he's sick.
Yeah, he's sick.
Demented.
Let's just all say it. The president is sick.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
And, indeed, we do have a few people to thank for show 1470, I believe it is. 1470. Starting with Deborah Maskus. She's in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Robert Stokes is in, and she's came in with $111.33. By the way, it's another slow day. I want to point this out to people out there who want to support the show. Robert Stokes is next with $100 from Covington, Texas. And he does have a little thing that we have to read. He also was begging for a rain stick, but call out my compadre, which should be comrade. Let's correct that.
Comrade.
Who I will anonymously call John Smith as a freeloading douchebag.
Douchebag.
Okay, we'll hope to hear from him.
Got
Adam Frederick in Orange, Vermont, 8066. Eric Adler, 8008. He's in Punta Gorda, Florida. And he says boobs. And here comes Sir Kevin McLaughlin, Duke of Luna, lover of America, and boobs.
Boobs.
He's on his way to Archduke, 8008, Locust, North Carolina. Stephen Atwell, 8008, in Bloomfield Township, Michigan. Sir Dan the Quiet Man in Alpharetta, Georgia. Both of these people came in at 8008.
Nice.
Sir Jamo of North Central Idaho, 6933. He's in Lewiston, Idaho, according to PayPal. Dean Roker, 5510. Miles Perot. Or Peralt in Westminster, Massachusetts, 5005. Andrew Benz at 5005 from Imperial, Missouri. The following people then are $50 donors, name and location, if we have it. Starting with Craig Knowsley in Cumberland, B.C., Christy Jones in Cumming, Georgia, Christy Jones again in Demorest, Georgia. I have a sense it's the same Christy
Might
Jones.
Might be.
She's moving around. She's a moving target. Robert Case in Mill Spring, North Carolina. Stephanie Lukasik in Santa Ana, California. Julian Robbins in Aptos, California. Scott Lavender, Sir Scott in Montgomery, Texas. Daniel LeBoy in Bath, Michigan. Kevin O'Brien in Chicago, Illinois. Matthew Janzak in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Deborah Platt in Waterville, Ohio. Sir Andrew Gusick in Greensboro, North Carolina. Richard Lindquist in Squim, Washington. This is his first donation. Thank you, Richard. Kelly Flanagan in McCall, Idaho. And last but not least, Michael Statham in Parts Unknown. I want to thank all these folks for making show 1470, the show that it is.
And a couple of make goods, usually because people didn't send a note, sent it the wrong place or forgot. We're happy to read them. Alan Dix, now he is the guy who got the knighthood from Sir C.B. Knight of the Black Thumbnails.
And this is maybe the note of the day.
Yes. However, Navy chiefs being known for their vulgarity, CB chiefs being the worst among them, the title, which was bestowed upon him, Hey Chief Dick's Nice Penis, that he so graciously allowed me to change if it were up to him, shall be adjusted to reflect my current status as a civilian. I retired from the Navy in 2013, hanging up my clearance and other spook credentials for good. So he doesn't really own shit. Please change my night to the Night of the Noah Jenner Roundtable name to Sir Dixbert, Dixbert Sachem of Dude's Name Ben. I thought the nice penis remark had faded from people's memory, but it's my fault as I brought it up with him between episodes 1467 and 1469. Yeah, maybe a little too much information. David Vandenbrand or Vandenbrandt could be. This is a $33 a month donor, and he will be knighted today. He reached knighthood with his $33 a month. Congratulations. He will be known as the protector of the Friska sheeps. Big tenderloin steak and a few Corona beer will do it for me, he says. And always, I always think of you when I fist my nuts. That's for you, John. A few Corona beers. Did I get the big tenderloin and a few Corona beers? Hold on a second. If I didn't get it, then people always get pissed off at the round table. Yeah. And then finally, we have a note from John Doe, Instanight from the previous episode. He was writing from FEMA region number 4 in Florida, claimed this Instanight. I don't know how this works, but after donating, I was told I have to write an email and notify to claim it. If there is a note to be read on the show, here it is. I got punched in the head by a friend and true protector of Petaluma, California. Petaluma is not to be protected anymore. I still recover from the concussion of how reality looks like. It's effing scary shit. Hat off to Adam and John and the whole Noah Agenda Nation, a.k.a. the slaves and their human resources. Originally from Moldova, with your show, and while living in the U.S., I've understood more about my country of origin than the whole life I was living there. We haven't even talked about Moldova that much. That's how good we are.
No, I think he's really seeing what happens. Oh. What's happening here is reflecting what happened there already.
Oh, that sucks.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. I cannot understand how we, the humans of the planet, have allowed to be taken for this kind of a ride. Same pattern and bullshit. In every single country, I've traveled through a few, and after a while, the questions pile up. Also, the answers are very problematic to enunciate loudly in public spaces. Once you see through the matrix, land of the free, home of the brave, must remain so. Thank you very much. And we thank all of our donors, our supporters for episode 1470. Thanks to these producers. Also, any producer who came in under $50, we don't read those for anonymity, but also... as you heard, a lot of people are on subscriptions. If you'd like to learn more about those, go here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Bit of good karma, anyone who needs it.
You've got karma.
Quickie list, actually. The DiLoretto sisters say happy birthday to their mother, Joyce. She turned 66, which we gleaned from their donation amount. Dame Amazeballs turned 37 on the 23rd, and Sir Ned turns 50 years old on the 23rd. That's coming up soon. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
It's your birthday, yeah. Title changes.
Two title changes. You just heard Sir Hey Chief Dick's Nice Penis correct the record and turn it to Sir Dixbert Sachem of Dude's Name Ben. And Sir Furry Fury now becomes Baronet Michael Robinson, dropping the pronouns. Very good for you, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone for supporting the No Agenda show. And that those titles get upgraded for every $1,000 is fantastic. Thank you. And now we have... one lone dame and a couple of knights to bring up. So let's get our...
Here you go.
I haven't seen that one in a while. Nice one. Okay. Mother Joyce, David Vandenbrand, Kyle Rainey, Tim Marks, and Josh Springer up on the podium. Lady and gentlemen, for you, we have received your support to the No Agenda show, and that means you're becoming a knight or a dame. Very proud to pronounce the KB as... Dame Jazzy of the Humboldt Redwoods, Sir David Vandenbrand, Black Knight, Sir Rainman, Sir Timmy Changa, drinker of margaritas and lovers of Bodega breakfast tacos, and Knight of the Bottoms Up Beer Dispenser. For you, hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay, cold beer and fresh bug-free meat, big tenderloin steak and a few Coronas, and of course, mutton and meat, it's on deck, always ready for you. Thank you very much. Head over to noagendanation.com/rings. Give us a place that we can send this beautiful ring and the wax that you can seal your important correspondence with, along with your certificate of authenticity. And thank you and welcome to the roundtable of the No Agenda Knights and Dames.
No Agenda.
Two reports. First one from Central Iowa, Sarah reporting. That took place on June 25th. Just better late than never. Yeah. They had a good time, apparently. Only four were showed up, but a good time was had by all. The next one will be July 30th, and that is at Sarah's place. So make sure you check the calendar for that. And we have a meetup from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, this is Bill from the Report. Columbus meetup for the first one in a few years, from what I understand. Ever, maybe? I don't know, but thanks for having us.
Hey, this is Nick, executive producer of 1469. And yes, Adam, I am looking to pick up chicks in my Ford Probe.
Yeah. Certainly a spook. Thank you, Bill, for organizing the Columbus meetup. So it's a drive all the way to Cincinnati every month.
In the morning, this is Jess.
This is Anthony.
This is Sir Bubba Hotep. Hotep and Bill.
This is Mary Rose, and I love you, John.
In the morning, this is Josh.
And Megan.
Hi, this is Debbie. Love to John and Adam.
And Bob.
In the morning, this is Matt.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Here's coming up on the calendar today. The Love Free or Die meetup at Rodeo Goat in Houston, Texas kicks off, is underway actually as we speak. The Don't Block Me, John C., 5 o'clock Eastern. That's in Carlton Place, Ontario, Canada, the waterfront gastro pub. Charlotte's Thursday monthly meetup, 7 o'clock tonight, Edge Tavern, Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Saturday, the Western Carolina Ham Fest Hobnob, Smoky Mountain Event Center. All right, hams. That's at 8 o'clock Eastern Times. Got to be old hams. Also on Saturday, this is a big one. There's a two-part of the No Agenda Central Texas Float Meet Part 1. Kicks off at 11 a.m. Rockin' River Rides in New Braunfels, Texas. Is right up the road from us. I'm going to see if I can get the keeper to come along with us. So you float. It's a meat float. You start there and then you float all the way down to part two, which will be at Groon River Grill in New Braunfels, Texas. That'll be at 3 o'clock Central Time. So you can join the meat float and then you can go hang out at the grill. And that, of course, is Baron Scott of the No Agenda Armory presiding. Also on Saturday, Pickle Palooza, 1 o'clock at Blue Ghost Brewing Company, Fletcher, North Carolina, South Jersey. Bug Bake Off, 1 o'clock at Miller's Ale House in Mount Laurel Township, New Jersey. The Mighty Niagara Region, 133 on Saturday, Raymond Klimek Veterans Park, Fisher's Park, Seabees Memorial. Organized there, Tonawanda, New York. Kansas City, That's Amore Edition, 333 on Saturday, Caraba's Italian Grill in Independence, Missouri. We've got Torrance, California with the Flight of No Agenda 030. That'll also be on Saturday. Dame Amazeballs, No Agenda Pool Party, Sunday at her secret place. I have no idea where it is. You'll have to get onto noagendameetups.com, along with the Southwest Virginia meetup at the River Mill Bar and Grill. Those are just a few of the meetups that are listed coming up between now and the next show day. We're full for July and August, and there's still room for more. Noagendameetups.com. Find one near you or start one if you can.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Like a party. And what is this shit?
What?
One of my ISOs won't load. That's weird. Well, no.
Telling me something.
The file type is unsupported. Oh, man.
You do. Some screwball type.
Yeah, okay.
Ogvorbin is over.
Ogvorbis. All right. Ogvorbis. You've got ISOs then, I guess. I don't have any
ISOs. What, you have no ISOs?
Well, I have two, and I don't think this one's any good.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Because we didn't play the Boris clip of Boris Johnson leaving. So it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. I admit it's bad.
Very bad. Okay, well, mine aren't great, but better than that.
I have to do
it. So I got Love It.
Love It.
Okay, I'm liking that one.
And then I've got the one I like, which I think would be a good end of show. Right at the end of the show, you hear this.
So many Americans know how wrong this is.
It's too long. This is
this only
is
2 seconds.
This punches.
Two seconds.
I love to love it. Come on, I'm giving.
Okay, love it it is.
Oh, man, this is so bitter.
Ah. Can you identify the voice in the other clip?
Of the wrong is this? Let me see.
So many Americans know how wrong this is.
Yeah, that's a Republican senator, I think. I can't remember. Who is it?
Congressman.
Congressman. Who is it?
Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Screw that guy. I don't like any of those people. I really don't. What was I going to say about that? There was something. Oh. No. I forgot.
Yeah, I've got one. I literally forgot
whatever the hell I was trying to say.
You're at the end of the day.
I'm at the end of my rope.
Okay, let's go with it. Now, I got a clip here. This is a one-of-a-kind clip.
No.
This was a supercut of one person.
A supercut of one person. Okay.
Yeah. This is Kamala Harris.
Oh, no.
You've seen this, right?
I don't think so.
I cut it way down because it's like first they play her saying this, and then they say this is a clip of what she says after she got her acceptance speech for vice president, what she thinks of Joe Biden, what she thinks of this. It's all these different topics, and in every one of her little speeches and spiels, she says this over and over.
That's why we're here today, because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen. We have to believe in what can be, unburdened by what has been. And we must always see who we can be, unburdened by who we have been.
And ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
What can be, unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
We see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
Bring people to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
It is the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
That will be your acting president very soon.
Well, then we'll have the ability to see what can be without the burden of
unburdened,
what is
unburdened by men, obviously. Yes. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, here's what's coming up next, because we've got to get out of here. Planet Rage is on No Agenda Stream. Testa de Strons. No idea what that is, but it's on noagendastream.com. And of course, hang out in the troll room to continue on enjoying and trolling. End of show mixes D's Laughs, Steve Atwell, and Doug Faxon. A brand new end of show mixer that we welcome to our end of show. Looking forward to the next program, which will be in just a couple days. We'll do it on Sunday. Until then, coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. We look forward to seeing you back on Sunday. Until then, adios, mofos! And such.
DU43, it's time to grow up. Life is better valued when every day you just show up. I say come on out to the most fun show in the city, watching Cheddar Summer League. Thunder fans getting giddy, futures looking bright in Oklahoma City. Not trying to beat you witty, one day I'ma move out of the city.
Longer that I live here, think I'm be a fool with rising real estate costs, thinking that we own the city. Why Kyrie getting all the smoke? Many others not jab. NBA media is mostly a joke. The Hollywood stories are getting much worse. A bunch is just coming me dummies, making me wanna curse. Too many dying suddenly, what's worse? Sad, I trust the Raptors head coach over the real nurse. Bible got a lot of history, I'm talking about the best stories of murder, drama, mystery. I'm done with all the lies, want us power and to be married to children and a house of cards betrayed by family ties. With no guns, these stories could never bore me. Parables, fables, psalms, even these allegories. I got one more question. Who else is liking the agenda promos in the IG stories? I said, who else is liking the agenda promos in the IG stories?
What you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes.
Stand up, man. This is a time of war.
I love kids jumping on my lap.
Repeat the line. Stand up, man.
For the last time, anything you put on that proper, he will read.
No one's ever wondered if I mean what I say. The question is, I sometimes say all that I mean.
What the fuck is that?
We need more money to plan for the second pandemic.
With all due respect, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is not it's not a very logical question for someone to ask.
Sit down and hear what I have to say.
One of the things that I take solace from is I don't think you'll find any European leader who thinks that I am up to the job. We got a long way to go because of inflation, because of Putin tax increase.
Throughout this whole year, this is filled with so many places of meaning and significance to Muslims, Christians, and Jews. We must all be free to practice our faith.
What did you say?
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said. There's certain things that are so consequential. You have to speak from your heart as well as your head. I was speaking out forcefully on what I think to be at stake.
Serious?
As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, a lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos.
What did you say?
You're on television, so be good.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
I'm too long in the tooth to fool with this any longer. Not a joke.
In the morning. People try to put us down. Because we stand our ground.
They can't see our motivation.
Things they say are awful.
Pushing modern segregation.
You all might die before you get old.
DNA
degeneration. This is your vaccination, baby. Why don't you off? Taking advice from micros. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. Just thinking about the vaccination. This vaccination ain't my vaccination, baby. Just fade away. You don't dig what we are saying. He's just trying to cause big sensation. Constant talk about the vaccination.
So
vaccination. Vaccination. Be my vaccination, baby. Keep us down. Only heed the media clown. Things they do look up for. Yeah, hope they die before I get old.
Planning people's
vaccination. Make my vaccination, baby. No, 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 no. We'll
podcast in the universe.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Love it!